Roll call, please.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Miller?
Here.
Commissioner Peters?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Public statements. Any persons may address the commission during the public statement portion of the agenda on any matter except those set for public hearing on the agenda. So we have 2 minutes if you want to make any public statements. You'd have to make them. Normally it's over there, but I'm not sure where we'd do it. Right there? Okay. Any statements from the first row? Any statements from the second row?
Okay. Are there statements in... Sorry, I've never been to one of these before. Is this a statement to support one side or the other that we come and we talk?
No, anything not on the agenda.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So it's something outside of it.
Okay.
So seeing none, we're back to the head table.
So go ahead. Yeah, the motion. So the motion would be to adopt the administrative hearing procedure.
Where does it say that?
Right here.
Oh, okay. So we need to adopt the formal procedures for an administrative hearing. Who does that?
You make the motion.
Okay.
Or somebody makes the motion, and then.
So I make a motion for the three of us to adopt these procedures. This is kind of a new thing for us, but we have to do it. So do I have a motion?
A motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good. So the hearing is on appeal by, it says Thrive Pet Healthcare, DBA, Tatchby Pet Lodge, a proposed suspension of commercial animal facility permit. So then we go over to this. Can you guys hear me okay? It's a small room, but... So, good afternoon, everybody. I appreciate everybody being here. Today, the Animal Service Commission is hearing the appeal in the matter of Tehaspe Pet Lodge and Outfitters, Commercial Animal Facility Permit Number A19043917. Will the parties... I'm going to give you a new couple of words here. Appearances... is a kind of a new word. Appearances really means tell us why you're appearing at the commission and who you are representing. And the appellant in this sentence is the party who appeals the lower court judgment. So the appellant is the party that appeals the lower court's judgment. So here's my sentence. Will the parties or their counsel please state your appearances for the record? So, who are the counsel and who are you?
That would be me.
Let's speak up.
Yes, Jenny Waugh of Stellan Lomer on behalf of the appellants, the Tehachapi Pet Lodge and Outfitters.
And I'm Katie Rivera, County Counsel, representing Animal Services Department.
Okay. Thank you very much. Tehachapi Pet Lodge and Outfitters, a commercial animal facility, holds commercial animal facility permit number A19439107 for the property located at 20693 Wofford, Tehachapi Road, Tehachapi, California, 935-93561. On January 7th, 2026, following a complaint and investigation, the Director of Animal Services issued a notice of suspension for animals creating a nuisance. Tehachapi Pet Lodge, through its counsel, filed a timely appeal. The hearing on the appeal is scheduled for this date and time. So, the hearing will proceed as follows. The opening statements by the department, then by the appellant. So I need opening statements, and then we'll talk about evidence. So, opening statements by the department.
Thank you. That's me. Good afternoon. Again, I'm Katie Rivera. I'm with County Council, and I'm representing the Animal Services Department. The issues and facts that will be presented to you today are fairly straightforward. In December of 2025, Kern County Animal Services received a number of complaints from a resident in Tehachapi regarding barking coming from the area of Tehachapi Pet Lodge. An investigation was conducted. Animal control officers went to the scene, parked nearby, not too close so as to agitate the dogs at the lodge. They verified and corroborated the complaints of excessive and persistent barking coming from the pet lodge. You will hear testimony today from these two animal control officers, Officers Sugg and Hockett. Animal Services Director Nicholas Cullen determined, based on the investigation of the animal control officers, that the excessive and persistent barking from the pet lodge constituted a nuisance. In January of 2026, Nick Cullen sent to Hatchby Pet Lodge a letter indicating an intent to suspend their permit to operate a commercial animal facility. The letter informed the pet lodge of the verified and corroborated noise disturbance complaints. The director, Mr. Cullen, determined that this persistent and excessive barking constituted a nuisance. Per the Kern County Ordinance Code, Director Cullen is authorized to suspend or revoke a permit to run a commercial animal facility based on nuisance. So I want to take a look at the ordinances that we're going to be talking about today. So first of all, if I can share my screen with you. So, and to the members of the commission, these documents that are going to be shown on the screen, council and I, after the end of closing, are going to ask your permission to provide them to you in the binder. So you will have these. If the commission agrees to take that evidence, you will have these after today's hearing when you deliberate. So first of all, Kern County Ordinance Code 708-040A, it states, no person shall own, operate, conduct, or maintain a commercial animal facility without first having obtained a permit as prescribed by the director. In this case, the pet lodge has a permit. Ordinance Code Section 708-040F says the director may suspend or revoke a permit upon determining that any of the conditions described herein are not being maintained by the permittee, that the permittee is in violation of this title, or that the facility is being operated in a manner that constitutes a nuisance, including but not limited to noise and odor disturbances. Then we have Ordinance Code Section 708-380A, and I'll just read the pertinent part. The keeping or harboring of any animal or fowl, whether licensed or not, which by howling, yelping, barking, or other noise, which is offensive to the senses, is injurious to health, disturbs, or annoys any considerable number of persons or any neighborhood, so as to interfere with the enjoyment of life or property, is unlawful and is a public nuisance. Then lastly, the Kern County Ordinance Code 708-010B gives the Director of Animal Services the power to interpret the ordinances that I just went through. It states, the director shall be vested with the authority to administer this chapter. In the course of these duties, the director shall have the authority to interpret the provisions of this chapter. That means the ordinances that I just read. Where there is a question as to the meaning or the intent of any requirements of this chapter, including interpretations of conditions or approval required in conjunction with the approval of any ministerial or discretionary permit authorized therein, the director shall provide any necessary interpretation. So those are the ordinances that are at issue. And when you make your decision, those are the ordinances that you can refer back to that, again, vest the director with the authority that we're asking the commission to affirm today. So back to Tatchby Pet Lodge. In January 2026, the letter was sent notifying the pet lodge of the intent to suspend their permit. The pet lodge has, of course, appealed. The issue before this commission is, has Animal Services shown sufficient evidence that a nuisance existed in the form of barking dogs? If so, the Animal Services Director has authority to suspend or revoke the permit. This is not criminal court. There isn't proof beyond a reasonable doubt required. All that is required is that we show a preponderance of the evidence that there was a nuisance. Preponderance of the evidence doesn't have a numerical figure. In law, it is described as in practice, it is described as if you think of the scales of justice, we just have to tip the scales a bit in our favor. If we've done so, we've proven to you by a preponderance of the evidence that a nuisance existed. And again, if you find that a nuisance existed, as the ordinance states, as I showed you, the Animal Services Director has the authority to suspend or revoke the permit. And in addition, it's important to note that the Animal Services Director has the authority to interpret the ordinance. So if you, as you're deliberating, if you're focusing on certain words of the ordinance, for example, the ordinance I read to you said that residents, plural, need to be bothered by this, or a neighborhood, the Animal Services Director has the authority by ordinance to interpret that statute. And that's what he's done in this case by sending the letter, the notice of intent. Now, you may hear testimony as we go on today from the Pet Lodge about measures that the Pet Lodge took in 2024 or early 2025 to mitigate noise from the barking dogs. I submit to you that any evidence about mitigation measures from 2024 or early 2025 is not relevant. You may hear testimony about decibel readings that were conducted by the Pet Lodge. You may hear testimony that they purchased a device, it registers decibels of barking, that they created a log of these decibels, and that somehow shows that there wasn't a nuisance. Again, I submit to you that that's not relevant. All of that information that I suspect you will hear in the form of testimony from witnesses for the Pet Lodge occurred before the complaints that we're here today to talk about. The complaints we're going to hear today happened in December of 2025, and the letter from Director Cullen was written in January of 2026. So the fact that the Pet Lodge may have taken mitigation measures as a result of prior complaints of noise in 2024 or early 2025 simply aren't relevant. So I submit to you that after you hear all the testimony today and review the documents that Council and I have agreed that you can be provided from both of us, that you will find that there was a nuisance and that Director Cullen was within his authority to issue the notice of intent to suspend. And at the end of today's testimony, I will ask that you affirm the decision of Director Cullen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Also, at this time, I do want to make one note here regarding evidence we're going to get into. Evidence will be presented by the department, then by the appellant. During this portion of the hearing, each party may call and examine witnesses, ask to introduce exhibits into evidence, cross-examine opposing witnesses on any matter relevant to the issues, even though the matter was not covered by the direct examination. Next is a word called impeach. Now, when we think of impeach, we think of impeaching a president, right? That's not what this is about. Impeach really means to invalidate or discredit a witness or to challenge their honesty. That's really what impeach means in this case. So to impeach any witness regarding of which party first called him or her to testify and rebut the evidence against him or her. And then finally, we're going to do the closing argument. So at this time, opening statements for the appellant, please.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Jenny Plott, and I represent the Pet Lodge here. We are here because Kern County Animal Services seeks to suspend the commercial animal permit that allows the Pet Lodge to operate a commercial animal boarding facility in unincorporated Tehachapi. The stated noise, as my colleague mentioned, the stated basis for the proposed suspension is alleged, quote-unquote, verified and corroborated noise disturbance complaints under the Kern County Municipal Code. The evidence, however, will show the suspension is not justified. And we use the term suspension, but it really means to shut down the facility. There's no time limit incorporated into this term of suspension. The Pet Lodge is not being operated in a manner that constitutes a public nuisance. It is appropriately located in a sparsely populated light industrial area, has operated for over 20 years, and the evidence will show that it did so without any notable noise complaints until about 2023. In 2023, the county raised concerns about possible noise issues. However, the county would not say who was making these complaints and where they're coming from. But the Petlatch did not ignore these complaints. It responded, it worked with the county, it developed a noise mitigation plan that it implemented at a significant cost. And after the county approved those measures, the Petlatch put them into place and continued to monitor and mitigate noise in good faith. Now, the governing nuisance standard matters. It's not just nuisance as in somebody was annoyed. It doesn't make every instance of barking unlawful, nor could it. The ordinance prohibits the keeping or harboring of animals whose habitual howling, yelping, barking, or other noise disturbs or annoys, and this part's important, a considerable number of persons or a neighborhood. That is not what the evidence shows here. And now my counsel spoke about the discretion that the director has to interpret the statute, but that discretion is not unfettered. It is still governed by the specific language of the statute. So if there's an ambiguity in language of the statute, yes, that director does have some discretion. But here the language specifically says that it needs to be a significant number of persons impacted or neighborhood. Instead, the evidence will show isolated subjective complaints that appear to come from one individual by the name of Greg Garrett, who also happens to be the city manager of Tehachapi. This was followed by limited observations by animal control officers of the county, mostly during the precise point of the day when the boarding dogs are at the most active, which is around 7:30, when the overnight dogs are first let out of their kennels. Now, the county's January 7th notice says that the permit is being suspended because of a quote-unquote verified corroborated noise disturbance complaints. But the notice does not identify several key points. It doesn't say the number of complainants, does not identify a neighborhood-wide disturbance, does not include any objective decibel analysis. Now, we can see that the county does not have any specific decibel readings or levels at which there would be a public nuisance. A lot of cities have that. I looked into a lot of other cities that are nearby, and they tend to be between 55 and 70 decibels. We'll keep that in mind for later. The county's own records reflect that this process depends on officers observing from a location nearby and making a very discretionary judgment as to whether noise rises to the level of a nuisance. That is not the same as proving that this facility is being operated as a public nuisance under the municipal code. And I'm a big believer in showing, not just telling, and so we will see the 10 pieces of video that the county has taken to support their position. And you'll see the level of noise that has been impacting the quote-unquote neighborhood. The evidence will also show that the Petlatch took the county's concerns seriously. In 2024, the Petlatch proposed a detailed outdoor mitigation noise measure that we believe to be relevant because it shows that what is currently in place as of the time that these complaints were being made. It includes sound dampening sheeting, screening between kennels to reduce canine excitement, employee supervision of pets while outside, use of every other outdoor kennel to keep the dogs apart, special handling of reactive pets, limits on outdoor use before 7:30, the dogs are not let up until 7:30 or later, and after 6:30. It also includes alternating kennel doors, owner counseling regarding possible supplements or medication for highly reactive pets, and routine noise monitoring. Basically, this pet lodge is being operated at the best practices of keeping noise levels down and to just be a good neighbor. And the county accepted that approach. On May 30, 2024, Director Collin informed the Pet Lodge that he would desist from suspending the permit after considering the abatement plan. And he further stated he was confident that the thorough and sustained implementation plan could resolve the issues. Now, the evidence will also show that the Pet Lodge implemented all of those measures and more. Dogs are not kept outside all day. They're let out for very controlled times for fresh air, play, and exercise. They remain indoors for the rest of those times. The staff will interrupt the dog's line of sight to reduce vocalizations. Louder, more reactive dogs are placed farther from neighboring residences. Dogs are hand-walked when necessary. Dogs that are too loud are brought immediately inside. Where appropriate, anxious dogs get vet-supported interventions to reduce anxiety and noise, including medication. And there's also physical sound barriers, tree lines, cinder blocking screening. We'll hear all about that later. And the evidence will further show in the 18-month period after the county approved the pest mitigation plan, The Pet Lodge did not receive any other complaints either directly from Mr. Garrett or the county. So you'll hear that the county did some additional investigation in that 18-month period, but they never approached Pet Lodge to see what else could be done or to let them know that there had been noise complaints. It was only until the January 2026 letter was issued that the Pet Lodge became aware of any of these additional complaints. And it's obvious that the Pet Lodge made an opening to addressing these concerns, but there's no way for the Pet Lodge to respond to directly the complaints that it never received. And finally, the surrounding area also matters. The Pet Lodge is not the only source of dog noise or environmental noise in the area. The evidence shows that there's another facility called the Country Oaks Bed and Breakfast, which is also a dog daycare and boarding facility on an adjacent property. There are multiple residences with dogs nearby, and we'll see a video directly from Officer Suggs, who will be a witness here, where she is pointing out noise coming from a residence nearby. So the surrounding area includes lots of residential dogs, and then most importantly, the Pet Lodge's own noise records tells an important story. So over a period of 5 months, our personnel took noise readings at multiple locations on the property, and those readings were taken on the Pet Lodge property, so closer to any of our dogs than any of the residences nearby. It shows very minimal noise. It shows ambient noise of about 45 or so decibels, well below the public nuisance levels of surrounding counties. And again, minimal increase in noise for the dogs that are outside, 4 to 5 decibels at most. There's nothing from the county showing anything objective. And finally, we'll move on to the witnesses soon. The Pet Lodge is not just any boarding facility. It provides a unique and valuable service to the Tehachapi community. It is one of only 3 commercial boarding facilities in Tehachapi, but it is the only operation that has a vet on the same property and the only local boarding facility able to provide boarding services for pets with medical needs. So suspension has really real consequences. This is not just on paper. Many full-time employees would lose their jobs. Pet owners, especially those with medically fragile animals, would lose their local option for vet-supported boarding. And also, even if this location is suspended, if the permit is suspended and the Pet Lodge is shut down, pet owners still need to board their pets. So where are they going to go? They only have only 2 other local options. One of them is adjacent to the Pet Lodge. So there's no guarantee that shutting down this pet facility is going to have any reduction in noise levels. I'll let some of the evidence speak for itself. We're going to see videos taken of this area. Sent in by the animal control officers to show the level of barking and also their own logs to show many times when they were present when there was no barking at all. And with that, I'll turn back to Ms. Kathleen Riviera and her witnesses.
I've got a comment before we get. As a matter of bookkeeping, housekeeping really, as I always do in the meetings, make sure all your electronic devices are turned off or mute. I left mine on by mistake, and luckily nobody tried to call me. Could everybody hear everything Ms. Hua, is it?
Yes.
Said, in the back row, could you hear her?
Yes.
Can you hear every word?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I couldn't, so what I'd like you to do, on both sides, Ms. Rivera too, can you grab the microphone and speak into it more directly?
Sure.
And both of you?
Yes.
And I'd like you to slow down when you're talking. You're talking really fast.
Sorry.
Really fast. My wife does the same thing, and I got to slow her down.
I'm trying to get us out of here.
I know. I just got to slow her down, okay? It's like I can't get all that in my ear, so just slow yourself down. Enunciate better. So, anyway, good job on that, but I just want to make sure everybody could hear, because we get one bite at the apple and doing this the right way, right? Okay. Okay, so after that, each party gets to provide a closing argument, beginning with the department. So after that, we can file a motion to grant the appeal, to deny the appeal, or have 30 days to decide on what we want to do. Have the parties stipulated to the admissibility of any evidence?
Yes.
Yes,
have you agreed to it? Everybody's agreed to it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry? Okay. Pursuant to the stipulation of the parties, exhibits 1 through, how many do we have?
51.
51, really? 51 exhibits, okay. And we've agreed on both sides to 51.
51? It goes to 16.
Oh,
16? Hang on. May I confer with counsel?
We're talking about it. This is a good time to go ahead.
Okay.
Please do. Before we go any further. Yes, sir. Where is that? She works in your department.
Mr. Blackburn?
Yes, ma'am.
The bad news is that we do indeed have 51 joint exhibits.
I'm really sorry to hear that. Okay.
Luckily, 27 are the same.
Okay, because I have 51 on my list. So,
yes,
both sides have to agree on this. Okay. Moving right along. Okay, so exhibits 1 through 51 are admitted into evidence, period. We've already done the opening statement on both sides. Now I move on to what they call the case in chief. Will the department please call its first witness?
Yes. Before I do that, the evidence that we just agreed on are in these binders. So if the commissioners would
they're
like to
binder,
follow along.
Like this binder? Which binder are we talking about?
The big binder.
This binder here. Okay.
No. So there isn't one for Gary.
I put a few copies out.
Should I give him one?
Yeah.
I can share one?
Well.
I think there are three copies.
I think I should probably have
one.
Right
there.
Might be a good idea.
There's
one for you. This one? Yeah. Yeah, this is one and two. Oh, I have one here. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The main house. Moving on. Yeah, so.
That's
fine
if you guys.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
As long as you're okay.
Yeah, so that would help.
That's this part right here, right? Mm-hmm. What part do the three of us want to talk about? After public comment. So what would it be like right after this? Okay, so I'll be doing the swearing in. So.
Okay, so the county would like to call Officer Hockett.
Okay.
And you can sit right there.
Let's see here. Let me catch up with you real quick. Can you please stand and raise your right hand? We don't have a Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, good. Please be seated. Please state your name and spell your name for the record.
Officer Hockett, Jose Hockett, JoseHockett.
Okay, real good. Please proceed.
Thank you. Officer Hockett, in front of you, there's a binder and with exhibits, and I may be referring your attention there.
Okay.
So how long have you been employed at the Animal Services Department?
2 years this October.
Okay. Now, with regard to investigating complaints of... Thank you. With regard to investigating complaints of noise caused by dogs, have you been trained on how to conduct an investigation about a complaint of noise?
Yes, I have.
Can you tell us what that training generally involved?
So the training, pretty much, we familiarize ourselves with our policies and procedures, then we ride along with our senior officers, and we investigate the barking. They pretty much guide me on how to approach a house, how far away we should park from the residence, and how long we should stay there unless it's for barking, and to be be sure to turn off our vehicles in order not to provoke the barking.
Okay. And in terms of how close you get, is that a consideration in terms of not provoking the barking?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And so part of your training is reviewing written policies and procedures, and then part is on-the-job training, driving around with a senior officer.
Correct.
Okay. And as part of your training, have you been told that it's important to learn as much as you can possibly be certain as to where a particular noise is coming from?
Yes.
Now, in addition to training, you're on the job training with a senior officer. Do you personally have experience with conducting your own investigations as to noise complaints caused by dogs?
Yes, after I've pretty much ridden with the senior officer and trained, I'm released out to the field and investigated on my own.
On your own.
Yes.
Can you estimate for us how many investigations you've conducted on your own? And you can give an estimate.
I would say more than 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you document your investigations, written documentation?
We provide our notes on the calls. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to show you, if you can open up your binder to the tab number 7. And I have numbered in the bottom right-hand corner. Commissioners, I'm sorry you don't have this number, but I'll tell you where to look. But for Officer Hockett, can you look at, in the bottom right-hand corner, page 9? And for the commissioners, that is activity card in the left-hand corner, A24-104-972-3. And I'll show it to you on the screen as well.
Sorry to interrupt. In the comp time I've given the commissioners, they're base labeled with joint, and they have page numbers. So if you tell the page number of the joint exhibit, I think we can all get to the same spot.
Okay, yeah, mine aren't base numbered.
Okay.
I think this will be fine.
Okay.
Unless you want to let them know.
Oh, it looks like it might be the first page.
You can just, commissioners, if you just look at the top left hand, if you find that number, A24-104-972-3, under Exhibit 7. It should be the second to last page in Exhibit 7. Oh. Or, Council, I don't know if you put them in different order than
we
have them together.
I emailed them in this order.
In the same order. Well, you can just follow along by looking at the screen.
It's page 19. The problem is there are several cards with that same ID on the top. So I think page 19 would be good.
That's right.
Well, okay. There should just be one card with that ID. But okay, so you've got it here on the screen in front of you. So, Officer Hockett, when we were talking about documenting your investigation, are you familiar with the activity card that you have in front of you and on the screen?
Yes, I am.
And is this how you document a noise investigation?
Yes.
Is there any other documentation that you do besides the activity card?
At this time, I recorded a video.
Okay, yeah. So we'll talk about that in a second. Are you required to record either audio or by video noise complaints by dogs?
It's under the discretion of the officer at these calls.
So no requirement to do so. Okay. Now, are you familiar with Tehachapi Pet Lodge?
I am.
Okay. So what I want to do with these activity cards, and these go back in time, but I just want to show your familiarity with the Pet Lodge. So looking at this activity card here, so if I scroll down, So this one, the address is 20693 Wofford, Tehachapi Road. Is that the location of the Tehachapi Pet Lodge?
Correct.
Okay. And the activity card indicates the dispatch date, September 7th, 2024. And do you populate this information, activity comment, to listen for barking? Is that what you write in there, or does someone else do that?
No, that is our dispatch.
Okay. So on this particular date, it states at the bottom here that, that no barking since you have been parked here, parked for 20 minutes. Does this refresh your memory that this was a call that you were on regarding noise at the Pet Lodge?
Correct.
Okay. And again, this doesn't indicate video, but you're not required to take video or audio recordings, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you were familiar with noise complaints at the Pet Lodge as far back as September of 2024. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So I want to skip ahead then to what we're here to talk today about, the complaints from December of 2025. If you can look at the activity card that's A25-121-489-2. It should be the third page. It should be page number 3 in the bottom right-hand corner for you.
There's two pages numbered.
Oh.
With number 3.
Okay, just look at the one that's the number A25-121-4892, and I'll show it here to you on the screen. And the date is December 19th, 2025. I'll pull it up in just a second. Okay, so do you have this one in front of you?
Yes.
And so it indicates down here that you were the officer assigned, and the date is 12/19/2025, and we've got the address here that you've indicated is Tehachapi Pet Lodge, 20693 Wofford Road in Tehachapi. So let me scroll down here. So the notes indicate, can you just tell us what these notes state and explain what they indicate? Under the memo card.
Yeah, so they just, they're notes from us, officers. I believe the first note is barking from 7:30 a.m. to 7:49 a.m. and on the December 22nd, 2025, states, I set a timer and the barking continued for 25 minutes, starting at 7:35 a.m. Both videos sent to the director. And then the last note on December 23rd, 2025, from 7:32 a.m. to 7:51, failed video sent to director.
And what does failed video mean?
Excessive barking.
Okay. And again, you're not required to take video, but you just happen to on this occasion, correct?
Correct.
Now, I want to...
never been objected on the record, sorry to interrupt. It's not clear to me that these memos are all from Officer Hockett. Are we just reading what the page says, or are we saying those are his notes?
I asked Officer Hockett if he recognized this activity note.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Officer Hockett, from reading this activity log, are you satisfied? Is your memory refreshed that this was, in fact, you who was dispatched and provided the notes for this activity log?
I believe the only note I did provide was December 22nd, 2025.
Okay. And, okay, the December 19th dispatch date, is it your recollection that that was not you?
I would have to look at it.
Okay, you know what, I'm going to show you a video of December 19th, and we'll see if this, if you can recall whether this was you or not. Okay. So let me just pause it real quick. Okay, so when I paused it, the little notation went down, but it said Officer Hockett at the bottom.
No, yes, that was me, because I do remember placing my phone on the
okay.
Yes.
And let me just show it again real quick for the date. Let's see if it comes up again. So it has there 2025-12-19. So does that refresh your memory that you were in fact dispatched and went out on December 19th, 2025?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we've got your activity card for that date, and now I'm going to, this video is 15 minutes, so I'll just skip ahead and stop now and then. So I'm going to pause right there, Officer Hockett. Are you able to see the area where the pet lodge is in this video?
Yeah, it's towards the back of the trees, the whole line towards the far end of the trees. That's the pet lodge. You could also see the building. Then past that building, that is where a resident lives.
Just for the ease of the commissioners, would you mind getting up and pointing as well as you can? And I'm going to see if I can drag this down. I probably cannot. So.
Do you have a pointer?
No, we don't. But if you can just, yeah, I think you'll be able to orientate them.
Yeah, so the pet lodge is this facility right here. In this area.
What's off to the left there?
This?
Further left. Back there. What is that?
That is, I believe, the BCA hospital. That's on the premises.
All right, thank you. And are you, looks like you're parked in an empty field. Would that be correct? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and play it. So do you hear the audible sound of the dogs on that video? Thank you. Okay. So, Officer Hockett, for the time period that you were there, so looking back at your activity card, for the December 19th date, which we just talked about, your memory is refreshed that you were there on that date. The dispatch time is 7:49 and the complete time is 8:47. So the dispatch time, is that when you left the Animal Services building, or would that be when you arrived at your location to record?
That was when I arrived.
Okay. So you would have recorded, there was 15 minutes of recording. It would have occurred sometime between 7:49 and 8:47. Would that be
correct?
Okay. And going back to what you told us about your training, about being mindful of parking so as not to agitate the dogs, where you were parked, were the dogs at the pet lodge able to see your vehicle?
No.
And I'm going to object to my own question. Obviously, you're not the dog and you weren't seeing him. So let me just rephrase that. So from where you were parked and recording, could you see any dogs?
No.
Okay, thanks. Did you make efforts to try to determine that the barking that you heard that we could hear on the video was coming from the pet lodge versus another location?
Yes.
And can you tell us how you made that determination?
Pretty much I was standing outside my vehicle. I could hear the direction that the barking was coming from. Usually if the barking is coming from another place and it's provoking the animals where the complaint address is, we pretty much notate no violation because we could determine that it's another animal creating that nuisance and provoking those dogs.
Okay. And in fact, you have, in the past, when there were prior complaints, and we talked about that activity card from 2024, you've gone up to the Tatchery Pet Lodge and listened and had not heard barking on prior instances, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Officer Hockett, those are all the questions I have for you, and council might have some questions.
You might have an issue with the video. It's new to me. I don't think it's in our joint exhibits, the video from December 19th. I don't think it was ever produced to us pursuant to a public records request.
It was produced when we were exchanging exhibits.
It's not in our joint exhibit list. I just looked, and I don't recall any separate exhibits being offered.
Okay. Do you have objections to this video?
It was just
now that
to
I've
me.
Laid the foundation.
I mean, I would object to it on the grounds that it wasn't previously submitted. I haven't been able to watch the video, compare it to the notes or anything else. So I would object on those grounds.
Okay. Well, I'll respond to the objection that council indicated that you were going to show 10 pieces of video,
yes.
Which are similar to these videos, and you've heard the foundation from an Officer Hockett that he recorded the video. We went through from the beginning to stopping along the way at 15 minutes. You're able to take a break and watch the full 15 minutes. So I would submit that the commission should accept this. If there was a mistake in exchanging exhibits, it was inadvertent because council and I have been working together, as you can see with 51 joint exhibits, to work so that we didn't have these issues. And as council said, she has 10 pieces of video, which are very similar to this. So with that, I would ask the commission to accept this video that we just...
So what is the reason you object to this again, so we
so
all understand this?
We made a public record request to get all the evidence to us so we can review it and kind of build our case and defense. And all of the clips that I've received, that we received part of both protection and this exchange, are less than 30 seconds each. So the fact that there exists a 15-minute video, I haven't been able to watch. I presume, don't want to assume anything, that Ms. Rivera showed kind of the loudest segments of the video, whereas other parts of the video might show nothing at all. So I'm just concerned that we're being surprised with a new piece of evidence where we're going to play all the clips.
So you object to it being over 30 seconds. Is that really what it was?
No, we object to the fact that I have not been able to review it to see what it actually shows. Does it show a continuous barking from
You weren't given this information in advance?
No.
You were not?
No.
Why weren't you?
As I said, it was an oversight on our part if she didn't receive it in advance. But I would suggest that the remedy for this is, counsel has indicated that she has 10 pieces of video. I've seen those. They all look very similar to this. So the video itself is not a surprise to her. If the amount of time is an issue, counsel can take a break, review the whole 15 minutes, and determine whether she still has an objection.
My counterproposal is that we have, it's actually more than 10 other pieces of video that we've both seen and agreed on that was produced by the county. If they're similar, we can rely on those pieces of evidence instead of one that we've never seen before.
Okay, so you're saying if they're similar pieces, you're okay with that?
I'm okay with showing the similar pieces that we've both reviewed and have already agreed on their admissibility.
Are there similar videos that are similar to this? Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, so she's saying that there are similar videos that are true with this. They're similar to this. So are you okay with that?
I'm okay with showing the other pieces of video, yes. But I'm not okay with letting in a 15-minute video that I've never seen.
You're not okay with what?
I object to the admission of a new piece of video that we have not seen.
So if there's other pieces of video that are very similar to this, then I'll just sustain it because we're going to just keep going. And they're very similar, and I think that's the only fair way to do it. Otherwise, we could be here for a long, long time.
Okay.
So why don't we just keep going, and then we'll just cross each bridge when we get to it.
Okay.
What's next?
If counsel's cross-examining Officer Hockett.
Okay.
So, Mr. Hockett, if we can go to the same exhibit that's already up there, it says here that the dispatch date was December 19, 2025, correct?
Correct.
And it says that the complete date is 8:47 a.m., and that the dispatch date and time is 7:49 a.m. Does that indicate that you were out there for 58 minutes? If I'm doing my math correctly?
Yes.
And of that 58 minutes, you didn't make any notes, correct?
No, because I took a video.
Okay, so that explains that was the hole in the evidence of,
yeah.
I didn't realize there was a video before today, so it seems on this activity card there's no notes. And it says failed inspection. What are your criteria for a failed inspection?
Continuous barking for about 10, 15 minutes.
So you observed that day 10 to 15 minutes of continuous barking?
Correct.
We now know about the existence of a 15-minute video, would there be a reason to cut the video short if there were 15 minutes of continuous barking?
The only reason I would cut it short is to be able to actually send it over to my director.
Okay.
In that format.
Okay. And then, so for this failed inspection, you didn't take any decibel readings, correct?
Correct.
Were you trained on kind of estimating decibels?
We don't have the equipment.
Okay, so you don't have a guess as to this is
no.
Louder than, okay, understood. And for a failed inspection, would you always presume that that would always have to be at least 10 to 15 minutes of continuous barking?
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much. I have no further questions for him.
Okay, so Ms. Witness be excused.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Thank you. And now the department would like to call Officer Sugg.
Good morning.
Morning.
Would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please be seated. Please state your name and spell your name for the record.
Julie Sugg.
How do you spell it?
S
Sam, Uncle George, George.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Officer Sugg, how long have you been with the department?
Since October of 2001.
That's a long time.
Yes.
And going back to when you first started, at some point, did you have training with regard to investigating noise complaints specific to dogs?
Yes.
What did that training involve?
Research and policy and procedure regarding the California State Penal Code, along with our Kern County Animal Services ordinances.
Okay. And you brought up a good point as far as the penal code. Sometimes are your investigations of noise from dogs, are those related to a criminal complaint?
Yes.
And can you just walk us through what's required if you are substantiating, you're supporting a criminal complaint? What are you required to produce?
If it's a criminal complaint, we would do a thorough investigation, a case report, and refer it to the district attorney for prosecution.
When you are working up a case to refer to the DA, are you required to provide audio or video of the noise of dog barking?
No.
So a criminal case can go along, and again, this is where someone is going to be criminally charged with violating the penal code, that your investigation alone, without audio or video, is sufficient in your experience?
Yes.
Now, in addition to that training that you just told us about, did you also do ride-alongs with senior officers when you first started to learn how to conduct noise complaints related to dogs?
Yes.
In your experience, based on your training, is it important to be able to tell as much as possible where a specific complaint of barking dog noise is coming from?
Yes.
Can you estimate for us, in the many years that you've worked at the Animal Services, the number of investigations regarding noise complaints regarding dogs that you've conducted?
Hundreds, given my tenure with the department.
Okay. And again, for the department's investigations of noise, and I'm not talking about criminal cases, but for the violations of the Kern County Ordinance, in your training and experience, are you required to record audio or video of the dog barking?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Tehachapi Pet Lodge on Woodford Road in Tehachapi?
Yes.
Okay. And have you investigated complaints of noise regarding the pet lodge before?
Yes.
I'm just going to show you. If you can open up the binder in front of you and go to tab 7. Just to go back in time in terms of your familiarity with the pet lodge. Let's see. I'm going to turn your attention to, if you can go to the last page in that tab 7, it should be a number 10 on the bottom right-hand corner.
Yes.
And for commissioners, this is...
22.
Yeah, it should be the last page in the tab 7. And this is activity card number in the upper left-hand corner, A24-104-972-2.
It might be page 3, joint exhibit 7,
Okay, so do you have that in front of you and see it on the screen as well?
Yes.
Okay. So let me just scroll up. So,
what's the base?
I think it's 3.
Oh, 3.
I'm not sure it's 3 because, well.
Well, I mean, based on the.
Okay.
The text and the number called out, it was like.
Okay. Yep. Sorry, commissioners. Council was kind enough to prepare a binder, but it didn't match the binder that I
have. Sorry, I sent these things labeled once too, so I thought they were on the same page.
So, Officer Sugg, I'm looking at an activity card with the number that I just said, and it has an address of 20693 Woodford Road, Tehachapi. Is that the location for the Tehachapi Pet Lodge?
That's the department.
What?
Sorry, we're just trying to find the right exhibit page.
It's 20.
It's page 20.
G27_020.
Yeah.
Oh, correct. Okay.
It's the second to the last.
So the number's going to be right.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Oh, thank you.
Officer Sugg, sorry. Are you familiar with the address of 20693 Woodford Road, Tehachapi, being the location of the Tehachapi Pet Lodge?
Yes.
Okay. So if we scroll down here, it says Officer and Sugg, and that's your identification, I suppose?
Yes.
And the dispatch time, the dispatch date, rather, September 6, 2024. Does this refresh your memory that you were called out for a complaint of noise? Okay.
Yes.
And could you just tell us what this memo states? What did you observe on that date?
On September 6, 2024, between the hours of 7:30 and 8 a.m., there was continuous barking. You'll see that I failed the inspection, and my badge number is at the end of the note, badge 32.
Okay. Okay. So you were familiar with the Pet Lodge as back in time as September of 2024, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, let me just say, so before the complaints that we're here to talk about today, you had investigated complaints of noise as far back as September of 2024. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let me go forward to the activity cards regarding December of 2025 that we're here today to talk about. So if you look at in your bottom right-hand corner of tab 7, it should say number 4, and the date is going to be 12/18/2025. And for the commissioners, if you can look for activity card A25-121489-1.
What page is that on?
It should be the fourth page in the tab, from the beginning of the tab.
Same tab
7 still?
Yeah, tab 7.
It's 004.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Officer Sugg, this activity card has your name as the officer, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the date is December 18th, 2025, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So can you tell us what the memo states?
On December 18th, 2025, there was continuous barking from 7:30 a.m. to 7:49 a.m.
Okay.
Do you want me to continue?
No, that's fine. We'll... And... Let me take your attention to... Next activity card, it should be for you, Officer Sugg, page 2 in the bottom right. And for the commissioners, this should be the second page in from tab 7. And this is going to be activity card A25-121-489-3.
Correct.
001.
001.
Thank you. So, Officer Sugg, do you recognize this address as being Tatchby Pet Lodge?
Yes.
Okay. And you recognize your name as the officer?
Yes.
Okay. And the date is 12/22/2025?
Yes.
So, can you tell us what the memo says just for the 12/22/2025?
For December 22nd, 2025, yeah. I set a timer actually on my cell phone. I remember that very clearly. And the barking continued for 25 minutes starting at 7:35 a.m. that morning.
Okay. So I'm going to play a video from that date. Council, do you have the video from 12/22/2025?
Yes, I believe that there are actually two. From that. Sorry, what was it? That was 12/22. Yes, there's one video.
Okay. So I'm going to play this video.
So at 7:35, they let the dogs out, and there's been nonstop barking. There'll be a memo in Chameleon. Based off a timer I set of how long the barking goes.
I'm going to pause it right there. Officer Sugg, are we looking at the building that houses Tatchby Pet Lodge?
Yes.
Could you physically see any dogs from where you were parked?
No, they have what I would call a brick wall that's probably about maybe 8 feet tall.
Okay, I'm just going to continue playing the video. Okay. So now the last activity card I want to ask you about in the last video is, this for you, Officer Sugg, is going to be page 1. On the bottom right-hand corner for commissioners, this is going to be the first page under tab 7. So the number is A25-121-489-4.
Page 2 then.
Okay. So once again, Officer Sugg, do you recognize your name there as the assigned officer?
Yes.
And you recognize the address as the Tatchby Pet Lodge?
Yes.
And the date 12/23/2025, correct?
Yes.
So let me scroll down to the memo. Can you tell us what it says just for 12/23?
On December 23rd, 2025, from 7:32 a.m. to 7:51. a.m. there was continuous barking in reference to the inspection being failed, and the video was sent to Director Nick Cullen.
Okay. And Council, you have the video from 12/23?
Yes, it's 22 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it is. Okay, I'll play that video now. Officer Sugg, I'm pausing it there. Is the building that we're looking at Tatchby Pet Lodge?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with the two videos that we just showed, when you heard audible dog barking, which you recorded, were you satisfied that that dog barking noise was coming from the Tehachapi Pet Lodge as opposed to some other nearby location?
Yes.
And can you tell us how you made that determination?
Unfortunately, it's the only barking that I heard during those instances in that area that were directly coming from inside that brick wall.
Okay. All right. Those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I can make things a little bit easier for the cross by giving May approach the witness to give her the binders that we're on the same page. And I'll try to read the numbers out to you, Ms. Rivera, so you can get the same thing as well. So if we go to page one of the joint exhibits, this is the card called A251214-89-3, dated December 22nd, 2025.
I don't have that joint.
It's page one.
Page one.
Of exhibit seven, sorry. We're only in a exhibit seven at this moment.
Tab seven.
I don't think my binder is the same as yours.
Oh, sorry. It's here. So we're only this tab.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So here is a card dated December 22nd, 2025, correct?
Yes.
And it states here that the dispatch time is 6:53 a.m.
Yes.
The complete date is, or the complete time is 8:05 a.m. Correct?
Yes.
So if my math is correct, that's 1 hour and 12 minutes, correct?
That would be correct.
Okay. And so this is for, again, the 22nd of December. You said that you set a time and the barking continued for 25 minutes at 7:35, correct?
Yes.
Was there any barking the rest of the time, or was that the totality of the barking for the 1 hour and the 12 minutes that you were there?
Okay. Are you asking if there was barking before 7:35 a.m.? I'm going to say unknown. That time period I would have been logging in to the computer and setting up and all that, so I can't say for certain.
Okay, so but it says that you were there at 6:53 a.m., correct?
Yes.
Would you have noted it if there was barking before 7:35 a.m.?
I would have, yes.
Okay, so this suggests to you that there probably was no barking before 7:35 a.m., correct?
Correct. I would say 7:35 a.m. is when it started.
And then, I'm not sure how to cue up the video again, if there's a way to do that for the 22nd?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Is it a little...
So at 7:35,
we don't have necessarily
the dogs out. And
oh, okay.
Non-stop
okay.
Barking.
Sorry. Where's my cursor?
Okay, so this video here is the timestamp is 34 seconds, correct?
I don't know.
That's what it says right here. We can play the whole third. You'll see if you play it.
Oh, yeah, I see.
The first number is
the right hand side. Yes.
Correct. Is there a reason the clip is only for, did you take additional video or is this the only video that you took and was sent in?
We are not required to send video or take video.
Mm-hmm.
The video is short because I would forward them to, or anything that I'm doing that's, I need noted for the director. They have to be short or they don't send. So it's just a clip to say, hey, I'm here, dogs are barking.
So for the duration of the 25 minutes that you noted of barking, was this the only video you took? I know it's the only video you said you sent in, but did you take multiple videos and then decide which one to send in to show the barking? Or
no.
Was this the only video that was taken?
That day, that was the only video taken.
Okay.
That I recall. I mean, isn't that like 2 years ago?
Yes, that's a year and a half. That's fair. Let's go to the note here that says the same page. We won't have to go to a different card. because there are multiple memos in that same page, correct?
Yes.
And so on the 23rd, you have a note here. Is this your note?
Yes. Because nobody can understand it but me.
Understood. But it suggests that there's barking or there's a failed video sent to director. And it indicates that there was barking from 7:32 to 7:51. Is that
yes.
correct? Is that would be 19 minutes?
Yes.
Do you recall taking a video that day?
Yes.
Okay. Could we cue up the video by any chance? I think it's joint exhibit number 38.
You would need to play it. The one I have is the one that I just played, 12:23.
Okay. You know, at some point with Mr. Collin, I'm going to play all the videos. Just to show kind of everything that was before the count of time. So
okay. I mean, if you want to.
I don't want to hold things up. We'll do that later.
Okay.
Yeah. So you do remember sending the video. If I told you that the video was 22 seconds, would that sound about right to you?
I don't recall.
Okay. Would you have taken multiple videos that day or just one?
Regarding this situation,
yes.
I would not have taken multiple that I don't recall.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the second page. It's joint exhibit 7002. And for Ms. Riviera, it's 825121489-4.
Thanks.
And this is for the 23rd. This is an activity card showing what we just went through on the 23rd. Now, for any of these observations, did you take any decibel readings?
No.
Were you trained to estimate in any decibel readings to see if a noise level is too loud or not?
No.
So if you heard consistent barking for, say, 10, 15 minutes, but it was faint and in the distance, would you have marked that as a failed inspection or not?
Depends on, how do I say this? It depends on the residential areas. So if it's one house in the middle of nowhere with no neighbors or businesses, that would be viewed differently than houses that are within the immediate area.
So you make a discretionary decision based on kind of the circumstances and where you are.
Yes, and specifically behind this business, there is several houses.
And in your training, does it matter where the noise is coming from? Is it coming from a residence, or is it coming from a property that's permitted to be a business?
We don't view them differently.
You view them the same?
Yes.
Okay. And so for this failed inspection, what was your criteria for failing versus not failing? So say you heard some dog barking. How long would that, what duration? Because we're saying that you don't really estimate noise level.
For me, it's unprovoked, continuous barking for 15 minutes.
How could you tell if it's provoked or not if you can't see through the cinder box?
Provoked would be if somebody's using a weed eater, honking horns, mowing the grass, and kids running up and down the fence line, that would be considered provoked. Unprovoked would be within sight of where there's no visual or a dog being able to hear something to provoke it, like me knocking on the brick wall on the exterior.
So if you can't visualize the dog, you can't see the dog, then the assumption is it's probably unprovoked. You don't see a source of, you know, children running around.
Yes.
Okay. And how many residences are here, Mike? Can you orient us? Because we know there's the dog facility here. Are there other dog facilities? Are there people with residences with dogs in the area?
Facing this property to the south, there is a boarding facility. And to the west, to the west of this property, there are multiple houses. So if you look at the field, the empty field, where I'm parked videotaping that, directly to the left there are three houses, and to the right there are probably four, and then across the street from where I'm parked there are other residences.
Do you know whether they have dogs?
I know that the property directly to my left where I'm parked has two dogs, because I see them when I park there and you don't hear a peep out of them. The property to the right has one dog. I've only heard that one dog, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 seconds, the only time I've been parked there, but I would consider that's provoked because I'm out there. But as for the rest, I don't know.
Is that what makes you certain that all of the noise we hear is coming from the pet facility, the pet lodge?
It's absolutely coming from the pet lodge.
I have a sorry, you don't have the rest of the joint exhibit videos queued up, do you?
No.
Okay. I have a flash drive. Do you have IT available to help, or hopefully it'll just work?
Yeah.
I have notoriously bad luck with
that. That's okay. Yeah, I'll give it a try. Okay.
And if not, I can connect my laptop. It's on there too.
Okay. I think it'd be better to stick with
this. I hope the parties feel about it, a short break.
Should remind me of that while we set this up. Perfect.
Sounds great. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
What's a short break?
5 minutes.
Okay. Yes, I can't run down there.
You have a password.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Why did you dish your gun?
Oh, this
wasn't
all right.
I'll run back.
Okay.
I think it's good. Plus, there's
plus, I was checked.
Oh, you know, you stay away. That was supposed to be the bomber, so good luck.
Mics are on. Just
thank you.
Oh,
what's
that?
This password's incorrect.
Should be the top part in caps.
Yes. Oh, you know what? It's this one. It is the top one. T-T-L. I got it.
Yes.
It was the top. I thought that was the title name.
Sorry, I should have put it.
Okay. Do we want to switch?
I think you want to switch.
Are you going to change the sides?
Oh, yeah. We figured it out, actually. We can switch back. Yeah, there's the screen.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all my stuff's up there. I don't know if I like that.
Just tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
You are? Okay,
yes.
Because you didn't look ready. All right.
Okay, I wasn't, but now I am.
Okay. Horseback now session. Okay, good. We want to continue on with any questions to Officer Sugg. Did you have any more questions?
Yes, okay. Your Honor. Your Honor today.
Your Honor, Your Honor. Well,
just enjoy it. So before I start this, this says it's a video from 2024 September. Let me know if this is your voice.
At what time?
There's no timestamp on it. But I don't think it's necessary for the purpose I'm using it for.
So that is not the facility that you heard barking. That is, I don't know who it's that. This is the facility in question. And there is networking. Plenty of barking coming from over there, though.
Ms. Sex, does that refresh your recollection of the video you took?
Yeah, I remember that video.
Does that refresh your recollection as to whether there are dogs in the neighborhood that might make barking noises?
Yes, I testified that there were.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to the next video from you.
How many videos do you think you'll have?
There are 10 total. I'm not planning on playing all of them. I just want to give the commission a
sample.
A sample.
Yeah, got it.
Of okay. what Ms. Suggs considers okay. a failed inspection. Or what's good. Happened. So here's an example.
Can you state the date?
This is September 6, 2024, and I will play some from 2025 as well.
So, Nick, you know that exactly 7:30, they let the dogs out and they started barking.
So, Ms. Suggs, after watching that video, would you consider that the basis for a failed inspection?
I would have to refer to any notes on that date because I would have memoed it during the time that I was there. Do you have a date for that?
This is September 6, 2024. I do think there's a corresponding...
Yes, I did make a note that the barking went from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. that day.
Okay.
So that would have been a failed inspection.
Joint Exhibit 16 has a version of it. Mm-hmm. So you'll see the notes on the bottom sometimes don't correspond particularly well to the cult.
Exhibit 16 is just a
blank sheet.
It has a memo.
Is it still in section 7?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is all within
seven.
Section. Sorry. All the activity
seven.
Cards are under
section seven.
Tab 7.
So we'll be able to find the report?
Yes.
The time is valuable.
What's the base on it?
You know what? Let's go to 20. Bates 20, Exhibit 7.
Exhibit 7, page
7, okay.
So you'll see the dispatch date is from, and I think you have the same pagination,
yeah,
so if you go to Joint Exhibit 7, page 20.
Got it. And then list the activity number, whatever that number
is. Yes, A24-104-972-2.
Got it.
I think everyone's on the same page?
Yes.
So is this an activity card from September 6, 2024?
It's actually for multiple dates because you can see my note from September 6th and then Officer Hockett's note from September
4th. So let me show you. Let's go to page 19, the page right before it.
Okay.
It has the same notes, correct?
Yes.
But it says the dispatch date is... the next day, September 7th?
Yes.
So this tells me that the previous page, page 20, was the card for September 6th, correct? Because that's what it reads
yes.
for dispatch date and completion date?
But if there's an update done in the system, it can change the date and time.
Okay. But underneath on the memo... it has a memo that says 7:30 to 8 a.m. failed, 9-6-24.
Yes.
See that? Is that your note?
Yes.
And does this indicate that on September 6, 2024, you noted a failed inspection?
Yes.
For 10. Okay. And this video is from the same date that shows, do I need to replay it or do you remember what happened on the video?
The first video you played or the secondary one?
The second video.
The secondary one?
The second video. I can replay it if it helps refresh your recollection.
Do it.
Okay.
You can play it, but they seem to be all the same to me.
Okay. So I'm going to play the video.
The visual is all the same.
It's 25 seconds, so I'll play it.
So, Nick, you know that exactly 7:30, they let the dogs out and they started barking.
And so, based on that video, would that correspond with a failed inspection?
Yes.
Okay. Let me do a sampling of other videos with dates of, let's look at failed inspection dates only. Because there are several of these cards where you went out and found No noise, is that correct?
I would have to review those specific cards.
How about the one for the same card? There's a note from 2 days prior. Is that your note? It's a much more like thorough note, so I'm not
sure. Do you have a number for the bar?
Let's go back to page 20 of Joint Exhibit 7.
Can you give me a page number?
20.
So we're at 20.
Yes.
We're still there.
Yeah, we're same one. And there's a note from that's marked as September 4th, 2024, so 2 days prior. Mm-hmm. Is this your note?
That note is from September 6th.
But it says September 4th, 2024. There are two memo lines.
The
there.
Reason it says September 4th, 2024 would be that is when the call was specifically entered.
So your memo would still put down the date of the call?
The memo is the date that I'm physically there seeing the violation.
Right. So in the memo line, there are two notes, one that's dated the 6th, one that's dated the 4th.
That's correct. Officer Hockett.
So that's not your note down there.
that was
the confusion. Okay. But does it indicate to you, you're familiar with these activity cards, correct?
Yes.
Does it indicate to you that on the 4th there was no noise violation during
no.
the visit?
According to Officer Hockett's note, mm-hmm. he says no barking since I've been parked here.
Okay, thank you. Let's do, I want to do a couple where we have both a video and a fail inspection. So it looks like we have no video for the fail inspection on this date. Let's do some from 2025 since that's when the complaints picked up again. Sorry, these cards are not the most intuitive as far as dating and memos. Okay, let's go to page 4 of Joint Exhibit 7.
Page 4, right?
Yes, page 4.
And then repeat the activity number.
A251211489-1.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. So here, Officer Suggs, you see there are four memo lines.
Yes.
Correct. And they're for three different dates, right? There's the 18th of December, there's the 22nd, and the 23rd.
Yes.
And it indicates that there are at least two videos on the 22nd and then one video on the 23rd, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And those are both dates where we had failures. Let's look at the video that corresponds with the date. Now, if the county only produced one video for the 22nd, did you send in two for that date?
I would have. It's possible. I don't recall. We're not required to.
So it says both videos sent to director
yeah.
under the 22nd. Does that indicate to you that you would have sent in two videos that day?
Yeah, okay. It's very possible.
So if only one video was produced to us, that tells. Suggest to you that there's another video that was not sent.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, let's look at the video we have for the 22nd.
So at 7:35, they let the dogs out, and there's been non-stop barking. There'll be a memo in Chameleon based off a timer set of how long the barking goes.
Does that refresh your recollection on that being indicative of a failed inspection?
Yes.
Okay. What date was that?
December 22nd, 2025. So in the most recent batch of complaints. Let's do one more and we can call a day. Let's do the, so it says on the 23rd, failed video sent to director, correct?
Yes.
So let's look at the video that corresponds with that.
So that was a failed inspection?
Yes.
Okay.
And counsel, the volume wasn't turned all the way up.
I can, I'm happy to turn it all the way up. I'll do 100, it's 125% now.
And the commissioners will get these videos.
Yes.
So you can listen to them.
Do you want me to play one more time at high volume?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
What did you say?
Would you like me to replay it at
why don't
the
you?
Volume?
I wouldn't mind seeing it again. At 125.
Again, that was a failed inspection, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Was that indicative? Do you remember taking more than one video on those dates other than the two on the 22nd? Or is this the only video you would have had of that failed inspection?
For that thing, I don't recall. I mean, I take so many videos at work.
Okay.
And pictures and...
Do you ever take multiple videos and then choose the best one to send?
No.
So every video that you take, you send it in?
Regarding what I'm doing with other calls, we typically don't take videos because we'll take pictures, but not videos.
So for dog barking, it's a little bit different because it depends on what you're hearing. The audio is important.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay, so if there was a period of time and you took a video and there was no barking, would you still send it in?
I would have noted it in the kennel carts as they pass.
So, say for a period of hour, you're there,
mm-hmm.
and there's barking for 15 minutes.
Yes.
If you had a 30-minute clip towards the end of that 15 minutes, but there's no barking, and you failed the inspection, would you have sent it in?
If it was 15 minutes of continuous barking, I would not have sent it in, because it wouldn't have downloaded into our email or into another cell provider, such as my director. I would have to cut the clip.
Okay. I'm saying, so if there's barking for 15 minutes, and say you took three clips that day, one clip shows barking, 30 seconds, you took another 30-second clip, and there was no barking, would you have sent them all in regardless of whether they showed barking or not, or would you send to your director the clip of the barking to support your inspection failure?
If it's a pass, there would be no video.
Okay.
If there's a failure, I would have probably taken a video.
Okay. I think I've beaten that horse a little bit. I think I'm going to move on. Yes. I think I'm going to let that lie for now, let sleeping dogs lie, and I might play additional videos when Mr. Collin gets called out.
Repeat that again.
I'm finished with Ms. Sucks for now. I might play additional videos when Mr. Cullen gets called up.
Okay, so the commission has some questions. Oh, go ahead.
May I redirect the witness? I have some questions on redirecting the witness.
Oh, okay.
Thank
I
you.
Thought you already asked your questions.
Right, but I get to go.
You get to redirect?
Oh. I have the burden of proof, so I get
okay,
to
go
last.
For it.
Thank you. So, Officer Sugg, so you played snippets of videos. Would it be correct to say, when you're investigating allegation of noise complaint as a result of dog barking, thank you, that you rely on setting your timer, listening for the amount of time you set your timer, which you testified was 15 to 20 minutes, rather than relying on video clips. Would that be correct to state?
Yes.
Okay. So if you send in a video clip, that's not the full basis of your investigation, correct?
Yes, it's a courtesy, not a requirement.
Okay, thank you.
That's all you redirect?
Yes.
Okay. So, before you excuse, the commissioners have got a few questions. Commissioner Peters, any questions? No. Commissioner Miller, what questions do you have?
Would you say that was normal, like, of investigating the barking mice for a boarding facility? Like, when you go there, is that something that you would expect barking at?
Okay. No, it is not normal.
All right. And it looks like a lot of the times that you guys were out there, a lot of their failed inspections were around the same time, and they passed the ones that they were later in the day. Is that fair to say they were failing them around 7:30 to 8 o'clock?
Yes.
All right. And one other thing, I don't know if this has to the case, did they pass every other inspection? Like, were you a part of going inside and seeing if it was clean and everything like that?
I have not done a permit inspection at that location since before Thrive took over. So that would need to be referred to a different officer.
All right. Let me see if I have one. And is it fair to say, I'm just keeping it, even though they don't see you, there's a chance the dogs know you're there?
I'm going to say no, based off the height and thickness of that brick wall.
Okay,
I've got a couple questions. Well, first of all, I wanted to go up there and take a look at the place myself, and to look at the relationship on where this facility was versus where the residences were, get a true perspective of things, and I was advised not to do that. So I didn't get to do that, so I'm at a disadvantage here on everything. So I don't know, and I don't know who was there first. Was this facility there first and the houses built around it? That's what I kind of think happened, but I don't know. Does anybody know the answer to that question?
And did people buy there when they knew an animal facility was there?
That's what I'm leading up
yes.
to. So, what did you say?
I've been with the department for 25 years,
right.
And that has been an establishment there for at least 2 decades.
More than that, I Googled it, and they've been there quite a while.
Yeah, so we have a very good working relationship with the veterinarians.
With the what?
The veterinarians
okay.
that are at the front of the property.
Hold on, no, not yet.
The barking started when there was a transfer of ownership. That's when the barking complaint started.
When was the transfer of ownership?
Approximately 3 years ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm not sure if I can entertain any of the questions. How does that work?
Public comment afterwards.
Yeah. Okay, you have to wait. I do want to hear what you have to say. But you're going to have to wait a little bit, but I do want to hear your comments, because I want to know some background information. Okay. Mainly, what's the criteria that you use, whether you fail an inspection or pass an inspection? Do you have the decimeter, decimeter?
Decibel meter.
What are they called?
Decibel meter,
yeah. I mean, how do you know if they fail or pass an inspection? How do you decide?
I base my inspection off what I've learned, that if it's offensive to the senses. So it could be 3 doors down, it could be 2 acres away. And if it's a nuisance or affecting that person's private life, and you can verify that, then it would be a failed inspection.
Okay. Well, I was hoping for something a little more objective than that, because that's kind of subjective in a little way, in a way, but okay. I'm not sure who to ask this question to, but how many formal complaints were there actually issued by residences in the area?
I would defer that to the director.
Okay, the director.
You can ask him.
Can I ask my question? I cannot? Okay. I can't ask you.
You'll have your opportunity.
Okay, all right. I, there's a lot of questions I've got, folks. I'm not an attorney, but I am a college professor, so I like to ask a lot of questions. A lot of questions. Okay, here's one. What percent of the inspections passed or failed? What percent?
Throughout my career or that specific location?
I'm talking about this location right here only.
I would have to defer that to the director. I don't know what the statistics are on that.
That's a really good question that I came up with.
It was a good question.
Okay. Okay, so, Officer Sub, that's all the questions I have for you, but we get to go back to Officer, what was the name?
Hockett.
Hockett. When do we do that? Like,
you can do it now.
Robbie, you have a question?
Yeah, so it's really hard to gauge off cell phones because once you talk into it, it starts hearing it this way. So I can't gauge on what they're hearing because when you hear a voice coming from this way, the cell phone will grab it this way because I can't really hear the barking.
Well, I heard very little barking myself. That's why I thought, well, how could this fail? And especially,
would it help if I played a video with no talking, or I could look for a video with no talking where that's not an issue?
Yeah.
I can look for one.
Yes, go ahead.
Save it
till later. I gotta save a lot of stuff till later. Okay, that's fine. Okay, did we want to ask Officer Hockett a question or two before he needs to get back to work? Did you have a question for him?
No, okay.
You don't? Okay. I don't.
I don't.
You know, okay. So, may this witness be excused?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. May Officer Hockett be excused?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're free.
We're going to switch. Yes.
Well, I had to get that in. Okay.
It's like freezing down here. It is.
We only get one bite of the apple here, so we got to make it a good one. We're changing this again. Okay, good. Okay, so next. Okay. Maybe I can track that. All right, so we're still going to have to So, do we have any more witnesses to be called?
Yes, the department would like to call Director Cullen.
Okay. I think I recognize him. You need to stand up, please. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And state your name and spell it, please.
Nick Cullen, Director of Kern County Animal Services, NICKCULLEN.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Director Cullen, how long have you held your current position?
Well, I've been with Animal Services for 21 years. I've been the director for 13 years. I was a field officer for the first seven years of my career. And then I was a shelter manager sandwiched in there.
Okay. Thank you. And as part of your job duties as the director, does that include making decisions whether to suspend or revoke permits issued to commercial animal facilities when you make a finding of a nuisance?
It does.
Okay. And as we've talked about when I showed the ordinance codes, the definition of nuisance includes noise. Is that your experience?
That's correct.
Okay. And with a commercial animal facility, that noise would typically be barking, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So can you take us through the typical process from receiving a complaint of noise due to barking to you making your determination to issue a notice to suspend or revoke a commercial animal facility permit?
Sure. It's probably important to point out that our process of looking into nuisance noise complaints on a commercial animal facility are really no different than they are for Joe Pet owner. We're going to receive a complaint. Animal Services always practices, not always, but almost always practices progressive enforcement. So we usually want to gain compliance. That's our primary focus. We want to gain compliance so we don't have to come back, so that the situation gets abated. So our first measure with barking is typically a notice. We're going to send you a notice. It's going to be a letter. It's going to say, hey, we got a complaint. We have not corroborated the complaint. We're just notifying you that we got a complaint. If it's a problem, correct it. If not, disregard. That's usually the first step, and that's the first step for commercial animal facilities as well. And if the complaints persist, then we progress, again, progressive enforcement. Then we're going to progress to an officer with a physical response. So they're going to drive to the location, and they're kind of like what Officer Sugg and Officer Hockett had described. They're going to monitor. They're going to park inconspicuously. They're going to monitor, and they're going to use their broad discretion to determine if a nuisance occurred at that time or was occurring at that time. And then if they decided that did not meet their discretionary opinion that it was a nuisance, then they're going to abate the call. If they feel that there was a nuisance in existence using their discretion, then they're going to take some sort of enforcement action. And that could be a verbal warning, it could be a notice left on the door, it could be a citation, and it's going to progress from there. And so that progression may be, we go from a notice that they posted to, a citation, and maybe, a criminal referral to the district attorney's office. So the commercial animal facility shop process doesn't work much differently. It's kind of the same. We are looking to verify and corroborate the complaint. And if it was a nuisance that was corroborated, then the officer has, like I said, a broad amount of discretion to figure out how they're going to gain compliance. And so for a commercial animal facility, typically that's going to be a suspension or a revocation of a commercial animal facility permit. And that's going to be the most extreme circumstances, only when, a full breadth of progression has occurred.
Okay, and is it important for you that your animal control officers are trained in how to determine whether a noise disturbance, like you said, should be abated, or whether there should be progressive measures taken? Is it important for you that they have training in that?
Absolutely, it's vital for me because I depend on my officers to exercise their discretion to tell me all of the Title VII ordinances are being enforced through my authority, and they are my deputies to do that. And so they have implicit trust in me to determine when those circumstances are, in this case, when it's a nuisance. And so I need to make sure that they know how to determine when a nuisance exists. And so, yes, we make it a priority to make sure that they know what they're looking for.
Because it's your name on the letter that goes out to the resident.
Name is all over the things, yes.
Okay. And we know that Officer Sugg has many years of experience and Officer Hockett has 2 years of experience. Knowing what you know, both of those officers, are you able to say that they're competently trained to give you an opinion that you can then rely on when you're sending out these notice letters?
Yes, both Officer Sugg and Officer Hockett are superb animal control officers.
And do they have, before this incident that we're, this issue that we're here to talk about, and I'm referring to the complaints, which again form the basis of your letter, which were the complaints in the December of 2025. Are you confident that as of that date, both officers had enough experience investigating noise complaints that you could rely on their investigation when you sent this letter to the Pet Lodge?
Yeah, I had full confidence then, and I have full confidence now that if Officer Sugg or Officer Hockett informs me that a nuisance exists, that I trust their discretion and I trust their experience and training to that I can have faith in that determination.
Okay. And so is the goal when you have a noise disturbance complaint, is the goal to determine is it substantiated or not before you then sign your name on a letter such as a warning or any other type of communication?
Yeah, our goal, I mean, we get thousands of nuisance noise disturbance barking calls every year, and our process is always the same. Again, whether it's a commercial animal facility or anything else, the process is going to be the same, which is we're going to respond in some way, shape, or form and corroborate the complaint. And if there is no evidence of it, then it's abated. And if there is evidence of it, then we're going to pursue enforcement actions. And yes, again, progressive enforcement actions.
So, of course, many, many noise complaints, barking complaints, get abated. They're unsubstantiated. Would that be correct?
Yes, the large majority of nuisance noise disturbance complaints are abated.
Okay.
Or unfounded, or they're handled with a verbal warning or something very minor.
Okay. And I know we've talked about this, but it bears repeating since there was so much focus placed on the videos. Is there any requirement, either in a written policy, the ordinance code, your directives to your officers, that they audio or video record barking before giving you the results of their investigation?
It's an extreme rarity. I would say, you know, in my 21 years with animal services, this is probably the only case that they've ever been required to capture video, and that was at my direction.
Okay. And in your experience, as we touched on a bit before, some barking complaints proceed to a criminal prosecution against a dog owner. Is that correct?
Correct.
And in those cases, does the DA, in your experience, require video or audio evidence of that dog barking?
No, the evidentiary threshold for nuisance or for infractions, you know, most nuisance noise disturbances are an infraction, and the evidentiary threshold for an infraction is very low.
And so in those cases, would it be correct to say that the district attorney relies on the investigation and the testimony of your animal control officers?
Well, I don't want to speak for the district attorney's office, but in my experience, no, it is not a requirement. And you know, and I will admit that my experience is based on very few criminal complaints being forwarded to the district attorney's office about nuisance noise disturbance.
Okay.
But in general, the evidentiary threshold is very, very low. We're not required to supply any video or audio evidence. It's based on the officer's discretion and experience at that time.
Okay.
And it's probably important to point out that as a director, I don't require them to provide any of that because I trust their discretion and I trust their experience to tell me when a nuisance has existed.
Okay. So, turning to your experience with Tehachapi Pet Lodge, can you tell us when did you first become familiar with issues of noise disturbances at the Pet Lodge?
The complaints started coming in around 20. I mean, I've had you know, a relationship with the Pet Lodge since I've been the director, really. And so I've known of their existence, but it wasn't until 2023 that we started getting these consistent complaints.
Okay. And going back to 2023, and can you open up the white binder there in front of you?
I'm shivering.
And this is in your binder's joint exhibit number one. It should be the letter dated September 11th, 2023.
Yes.
Okay. So taking you back in time, can you explain what the purpose of this titled public courtesy notice to the, it says, animal owner of 20693 Woodford, Tehachapi was? What was the purpose of this notice?
The purpose is going to be the same of most of our enforcement actions, which is to get compliance. So this is usually the first step. Like I said, the process for investigating the nuisance noise disturbance is pretty much the same, regardless of whether it's a commercial animal facility permit or John Q. pet owner. We're going to send you something in the mail to say, hey, we got a report. We're not sending an officer out. We're not telling you whether it is has been corroborated. We're just informing you that the complaint has occurred. Please correct it if it's legitimate. If it's not, then disregard.
And in fact, the next page attached, you provide the owner with suggestions on how to curb barking dogs, correct?
Correct.
And just to go back, so the address 20693 Woodford, Tehachapi, is it your understanding that this was the address for Tehachapi Pet Lodge?
Yes.
Okay. Then, so that was September 11th, 2023, and turning to Exhibit 2, that should be Exhibit 2 in all of your binders, there's a letter dated October 10th, 2023 from you to Tehachapi Pet Lodge and Outfitters. Can you tell us what the purpose of this letter was?
So this was a letter to notify the Pet Lodge. It's a standard letter that I would send to any commercial animal facility permit holder, which I am ordinanced to do. Title 7 of the Kern County Ordinance requires us to give notification, so it's a notification of our intent to suspend the permit issued to the facility.
Did any conversations take place after this letter went out in October 2023 with the owners of the Pet Lodge in terms of fixing the complaints of noise from barking?
Yes. There were, if my recollection serves, emails back and forth expressed that there were complaints. I think I may have even sent an email in concert with the letter just to let them know, hey, you're going to be getting a letter. It's from me. Just so you know, we got complaints. And the emailing back and forth was about how we can remedy the barking. To the Pet Lodge's credit, they were very reactive and suggested some really good ideas on how the situation could be abated.
Now, counsel in her opening statement made a comment that the Department of Animal Services had approved abatement noise. Would it be correct to say noise abatement measures? Is that what they're called?
Sure.
So she stated that the department had approved measures. Is it correct that you are required or you even have authority to approve measures that a private, in this case, a pet boarding facility would take?
No, it's not. It's not anything typical. But the majority of what was done from 2023 and 2024 was basically courtesy. Because we wanted to gain compliance, and the last thing that I wanted to do was revoke a permit or suspend a permit from a boarding facility that is a good boarding facility. They do good work. They take good care of animals. The community uses the service. I've used the service. So the last thing I wanted to do was have to suspend a permit. So trying to gain compliance was important. And I think that's why we went to the extent that we did. hope that answers your question.
Yes. So when you send out, so for example, October 10th, 2023, you sent a notice that you intended to suspend their permit. So if, in this case, Tehachapi Pet Lodge suggested things that they can do to curb barking, it's not, you're not required to approve those measures, right?
Correct.
And it's not your responsibility, is it accurate to say, to suggest measures to them, the Tehachapi Pet Lodge, for them to take to curb barking?
That's correct.
In fact, the burden is on the facility to come up with measures to take, correct?
Yeah, our job is to enforce Title VII of the Kern County ordinances, especially as it pertains to commercial animal facilities. And it's pretty narrow. It doesn't have anything in Title VII about decibel levels. It doesn't require us to, it's a very narrow scope of responsibilities that we have. There's certainly no requirement for us to allow for or approve, any mitigation measure that's undertaken or not. But again, as a courtesy, that's why we went to the lengths that we did.
And when you say the courtesies that you took, you mean the back and forth emails with the pet lodges suggesting things that they might do and you responding to that?
Yeah, that's correct. The 2023, there was a sort of verbal, and we were like, absolutely. And then 2024, again, we progressed where we were issuing another notice, and now we're having a document that's provided to us, which we didn't ask for. And as a courtesy, we went out and inspected the property and see if, what they said that they were going to do was what they were going to do. And to their credit, they did. They followed through with their mitigation efforts, that's for sure.
So let me go back before we go to 2024. So after this notice of intent to suspend dated October 10th, 2023, you decided not to pursue the suspension. Is that correct?
That's correct. We rescinded the notification of intent to suspend.
Okay. And that was based on the steps that they verbally told you they were going to take to curb the barking noise.
Correct.
Okay. And then so if you turn to Exhibit 3, now we're in April of 2024. There's a letter from you dated April 11th, 2024 to Tehachapi Pet Lodge. And again, you're notifying them that you intend to suspend their permit. So what was going on in April 2024 that prompted this letter?
So it was the same issue that had prompted the 2023 letter, which was complaints of nuisance noise, corroborated the complaints of nuisance noise disturbances.
Okay. And in this instance, the Pet Lodge appealed this notice of intent to suspend, correct?
Correct.
And then, and I'll just note for the commissioners, so that's Exhibit 4 in your binder, May 2nd, 2024. There's a notice of the hearing date for the appeal. And so after their notice of appeal, did it progress to a full-on hearing like this?
No.
Okay. So what happened after they appealed?
For recollection serves, we were contacted by counsel that was representing the Pet Lodge, and it was a very amicable back and forth where we again wanted to find some medium, middle ground where we can stop the complaints from coming in, stop the nuisance from existing, but allow them to continue to work, do the good work that they do. So it was, there was a back and forth between counsel and us, and they suggested, would it be agreeable for animal services if we came up with a full-on plan and presented the plan to you? And we said absolutely. And the plan came forward. It seemed like they were in good faith providing that plan. And so we allowed it and proceeded from there.
And so if you turn to Exhibit 6, there's a letter from you dated May 30th, 2024 to Tehachapi Pet Lodge. And it lists, it says, the decision was made after careful consideration of an abatement plan dated May 22nd, 2024, which included, and there's a list that goes on the first page, to the bottom of the first page. So is that what you're referring to, the things that the pet lodge suggested they would do to try to curb the barking noise?
Yes.
Okay. And so again, did you decide not to pursue that notice of intent to suspend the permit?
Yes, we again rescinded.
Okay. And but the noise complaints began again in late 2025, correct?
Yeah, they did subside for a bit.
Okay. And there's been a statement made by counsel in opening statements that all the complaints from December of 2025 came from one individual. In your experience, is that common or uncommon that all complaints of a particular dog barking noise situation would come from one individual?
99% of the barking complaints you get are from one reporting party.
Okay. So that fact doesn't cause you to look at that complaint with less credibility just because it's from one person versus, say, five neighbors?
That's correct. And I think that the Title VII ordinance, you know, there's a section that talks about or neighborhood. Okay. And so we try to interpret that in a way that we're looking out for the accessibility of private property for an entire neighborhood.
Okay. As part of the investigation of a noise complaint, when the barking comes from one neighbor, is there ever an instance where a determination is made that this is just a feud between neighbors versus an actual issue of a dog having persistent and excessive barking?
Often. We call them neighbor-neighbor disputes. There are times when if we make a determination that it's a neighbor-neighbor dispute, we will tell the primary or only reporting party that we will not respond to the complaints until we get an additional reporting party. And that's typically based on repeated responses with no violations.
Okay. In other words, you send the officers out and they don't hear any barking?
Correct.
Okay. And so the assumption is made there's more going on here between neighbors.
Yeah, that's just one of those things you learn to determine as an officer when there's, the department is being used as a tool in some neighborhood dispute that, you just kind of have the radar for that. But it's certainly validated if we get continued complaints from a single reporting party and those reports are unfounded. And if they're consistently unfounded, there are many times when we will tell the reporting party, we're not going to respond to this complaint any longer unless it's from a different reporting party.
Okay. So we've heard from officers Sugg and Hockett about their investigation. We showed the activity cards from late December 2025. As part of your process, do you review those activity cards?
Not typically. I think in this case, yeah, absolutely. But I don't typically go over activity cards.
What do you use to form the basis for, in this case, you sent another notice of intent to suspend, which we'll talk about. How do you gather your information? Is it from talking to the officers?
Yeah, it's primarily, like I said, we run hundreds, if not thousands, of nuisance noise disturbance calls every year. I'm not getting feedback from them on all of those calls. But for a permit holder, and a repetitive, founded complaint from a permit holder, that's going to get my attention. And so I'm engaging an officer in their personal experience. I'm probably looking for a more seasoned officer. I'm speaking to them more than just looking at the data.
Okay. And in this case, you're confident that Officer Sugg and Hockett were seasoned enough to provide you with sound investigation of this particular noise complaint?
Thoroughly, yes.
Okay. And so ultimately, you made the decision to send the notice of suspension that we're here today about, correct?
Yes.
And if you turn to Exhibit 47 in your binder, and that's the same for you, commissioners, so that's a letter dated January 7th, 2026, and that's the latest and last notice of intent to suspend that we're here today about, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did, based on what we've talked about, starting in 2023, going through 2024, when you sent this notice of intent, did you make any type of conclusion as to whether a warning would work, starting with something less, on that progressive scale, starting with a warning?
You're talking about the January 7th?
Yeah.
I with this particular case, it was such a progression, and we were continuing to corroborate those complaints that we have to continue to progress. So I knew that, it was getting more and more serious. We were going to have to enforce more strictly. But I, at the time that I issued this letter, I was maybe assuming, but certainly interested in trying to determine if there were still some remedial efforts that can be agreed upon so that we can stop the complaints.
Did the Pet Lodge ever make a suggestion of those remedial measures after you sent the January 7th letter?
No, there were some very preliminary conversations about it, but they didn't materialize after that.
And again, it's nowhere in Title VII of the Ordinance Code is it your responsibility to provide, in this case, the Pet Lodge, with suggestions for remedial measures. Is that accurate?
Correct.
So based on speaking with Officers Hockett and Sugg regarding what they heard in December of 2025, were you satisfied that this investigation verified a noise that met the definition of nuisance according to the Title VII ordinance?
Yes. There's a lot of discussion about the videos and what they show or they don't show. To be honest with you, I as I've said, I took this and take this situation very, very seriously. And if I'm going to take an action that's going to affect a business that I have great respect for and a community that uses the service, like I needed to make sure that I was basing it on, I needed to know. And so although I trust my officers implicitly, I also wanted to see it myself. And so like you asked the question, am I looking at activity cards, am I talking to the officers? I'm doing all that, but I did specifically ask them, I want you to capture some video so that I can see it myself.
Okay, and you were satisfied with what you saw in the video, that the barking rose to the level of nuisance as defined in the ordinance?
Yes, I would phrase it a little bit differently. I was satisfied that the video that they provided me gave me confidence that what they were telling me they were seeing is what they were seeing.
Okay. Fair enough. And there was a question brought up to Officer Sugg as to which came first in this situation, the Pet Lodge or the residents. Is there anything in Title VII that states that, again, it gives you discretion in interpreting the ordinance as far as noise, nuisance? Is there anything in Title VII that says you need to determine which came first, the facility that's the source of complaints or the nearby residents?
The short answer is no. The longer answer is our job is to enforce Title VII, and that comes down to, in this particular case, did a nuisance exist or did it not? If not, whether or not the facility was there first, or whether the residents were there first, or none of that was material in our investigation or in any of the correspondence back and forth. It was whether or not a single nuisance existed at any time that any of our officers were there. That's what this comes down to. It's not whether there was a pattern of nuisance. It's did a nuisance exist at any time when one of my officers was there? And, you know, like I said, that's why we went to the extent that we did, is so that we knew for sure that when we were there, that there were violations, and that we just wanted to be confident before we move forward that there was no shadow of doubt.
And in fact, as you said, it's your job to enforce Title VII. As director, it's your obligation to enforce Title VII. Is that correct?
I suppose you could say that, yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So, to summarize, you're asking the commission to affirm your decision as contained in the January 7th, 2026 letter to suspend the commercial facility permit of Tehachapi Pet Lodge, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I just also want to point out that I've said many times that we try to practice progressive enforcement. With the commercial animal facility permit, there is a suspension and a revocation. This is not a revocation, this is a suspension, because it's progression. Yes, that's where we proposed a suspension of that permit, really in the hopes that we can come to some understanding of how to eliminate the nuisance noise disturbances that we have witnessed.
And from January 7th to today's date, though, you haven't been given any concrete measures suggested by the Pet Lodge as to how they're going to do that. Is that correct?
Not yet, no.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Do you wish to cross-examine the witness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cohen.
Hi.
Let's start with the ordinance at issue, because I think it's critical to go back to the language. And I know Ms. Rivera mentioned that you have broad discretion in interpreting the ordinances. Now, is your discretion unfettered?
No.
No, it's defined by the statute itself, right? The words in the statute?
Yes.
Okay, and in this case, the ordinance refers to any habitual howling, yelping, barking, or other noise that disturbs or annoys, quote unquote, a considerable number of persons or a neighborhood, correct?
That's what it states, yes.
Yes. So in your discretion, how do you interpret the considerable number of persons or neighborhood? Who has to be affected?
I am exercising my discretion on the neighborhood term. I didn't look so much at how many reporting parties there were, so much as how many homes, how many residents is it affecting.
Have you ever informed the Pet Lodge which neighbors were being affected, with the exception of Mr. Garrett?
I don't think I've ever informed them that Mr. Garrett was one of the reporting parties. But we typically don't give out information on reporting parties. It's just not a common thing.
So when you say neighborhood, you believe that the entire neighborhood surrounding the Pet Lodge has been affected by this noise?
Yes.
So when your officers took the decibel readings, I think at this point, maybe a map would help. If we go to Exhibit 51, if you grab the other binder, and go to Exhibit 51. Okay. Does this look like an accurate map of the area we're talking about?
The
David.
Sure.
Okay, yes, it does.
Okay. So we have towards the right of the map Tehachapi Vet Hospital, correct?
Correct.
And that the permit for that hospital is not at issue?
We don't issue permits to the vet hospital.
Okay, so the only permit is issue is to the right of that vet hospital, same building, but to the right of it, there says Tehachapi Pet Lodge and Outfitters, correct?
That is who the permit is okay. issued to, yes.
And then there's a neighborhood to, I would say, the left of that pet lodge?
Yes, there's a neighbor to the left of the pet lodge.
And then right across from that neighborhood, there's another pet boarding facility?
I can't tell from the map that it's a boarding facility. But
it says Country Oaks. Sorry. Well, I guess it's not labeled here. That would be a church, okay. Are you aware there's a pet boarding facility in a close vicinity to the Tehachapi Pet Lodge?
I'm familiar that there's another boarding facility in the area, okay. Yes.
In this case, in your interpretation of this, you're saying that you believe the neighborhood to be affected, correct?
Yes.
Would that be the Tiffany Circle neighborhood?
I don't know that I would restrict it to this particular street, but certainly includes this neighborhood.
When your officers were trying to determine whether the neighborhood was affected by this nuisance, did you pick multiple occasions in the neighborhood to make observations?
So, yes. At one point, there was a complaint from, I don't remember the address, but there was an address on Tiffany Circle, and I wanted to make sure that the officer was observing the nuisance from a distance away from the facility that would be an accurate depiction of what the resident might be hearing. Because I just didn't feel that it was fair to the pet lodge for me to be standing outside their wall and making a determination based on that. I thought it would be more appropriate to take it from the Tiffany Circle area.
Is there a activity card that reflects that observation?
I don't know.
Have you reviewed the activity cards?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe there's a note on one of the activities to observe from former activity.
In my review, it appears that all the readings were taken from a single location. I don't know. Is what you're telling me that the observations were made at different parts of the neighborhood?
Yeah, so the address for a barking complaint is the address where the barking is allegedly emanating from.
Mm-hmm.
But there were specific activities where in the comment section you'll see that there's a note to observe from an address on Tiffany Circle.
Yes, but is that the only address on Tiffany Circle? So I believe, let's go back to Joint Exhibit 7. Very first page, base label is 1, the card number is A251121489-3.
Yes.
And this is dated December 22nd, 2025.
Yes.
And it says activity comment at 7:30, sit outside, and there's a specific address on Tiffany Circle, and listen for barking from the pet lodge.
Yes.
If I were to tell you that is the only location in the neighborhood that is reflected on these activity cards, does that sound correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not that there were multiple observations made throughout the neighborhood, correct? It was
throughout the neighborhood? No. I specifically instructed the officer to park near or by that address.
Okay. Is that address in close vicinity to the pet lodge?
Depends how you define close vicinity.
I wish I had a pointer because I believe I know where that house is. And I believe it's two houses. I'll get help from my bench later on kind of locating.
I don't know where it is also.
Greg, can you
show me? It's the house directly behind the pet lodge.
Well, we don't, this is not sworn testimony, so let's just stick with Nick
okay.
for now.
We'll do a judicial notice or something to show where
okay,
the address is compared to.
Okay.
Let's go back to your comment that a single nuisance would be enough for a violation of the ordinance. Is that correct?
It is correct. Can I just clarify? I have had more than one reporting party.
Okay, but none that you've informed the Pet Lodge about?
Like I said, we don't make it a habit of informing pet owners or property owners of who is complaining against them.
Okay. Maybe let me take you to exhibit number. This goes through 27 different exhibits. But I'll go through them fast, I promise. Let's start with exhibit 18. Does this look familiar to you, Mr. Collin?
Yeah.
And what is it?
It's an email from Greg Garrett to myself.
Okay. And this was produced as part of the Pet Lodge's public records request, right?
I would assume so.
Okay. And it's an email dated September 14, 2025?
It looks that way, yes.
Okay. And it says, we're back to where it started. Excessive barking starting at 7:45. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the next page. Sorry, next exhibit 19, another complaint from Mr. Garrett. Correct?
Yes.
21, another complaint from Mr. Garrett.
You said 21?
Yes. It's the next tab.
Yes.
And it looks like this email says Saturday morning, FYI, Saturday morning, 7:35, uncontrolled barking, correct?
That's what it says, yes.
And it looks like it was timestamped for 2 minutes after the barking supposedly started, correct?
That's what it shows, yeah.
So he's setting a play-by-play of when he hears the dogs barking.
I can't tell you what
okay.
Mr. Garrett is doing.
We'll just go through the exhibits very quickly. Again, email sent at 7:38.
Okay, what page are you on?
Exhibit 21. We're just going to go in order of the tabs. So we just flip by
now. I'm there. I just want to make sure you haven't moved on me. Okay.
Yes. So another email, Saturday morning, 7:32. Dogs barking, sent about 6 minutes after the barking started.
Which one are you on?
21.
Yes.
Okay. Next one. 10:52. And it said 2 minutes after he hears dogs barking.
Age 22, right?
Yes.
According to his email, it looks like he's saying something happened at 10:52, yes.
Have you ever taken, or your deputies ever taken readings at Mr. Garrett's house?
What do you mean by taking readings?
Taking decibel meter readings?
No, we don't take decibel readings in any way, shape, or form.
Have you ever made any observations? Did any activity cards show that you went to the area surrounding Mr. Garrett's house to see what he's complaining about?
I don't know Greg Garrett's address.
Okay. Have you so you cannot confirm, is that correct, that all the dog barking noises are coming from the Pet Lodge?
Well, objection. He didn't investigate the dog barking noises. We've already heard who confirmed it, and we heard from the officers.
Yes.
So he wasn't there.
Correct, but he's responsible for reviewing all of the activity cards and corroborating evidence and making the final determination. So I believe he should have all the evidence available.
Yeah, let's sustain what you said, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Have your officers made any investigations that you know about at Mr. Garrett's house?
Again, I don't know Mr. Garrett's address.
Okay. So your officers nor you have ever corroborated whether these dog barking noise that Mr. Garrett is hearing is from the Pet Lodge?
Objection. That misstates the testimony of Officer Sugg and Hockett.
Sustain.
Okay. None of the activity cards from your officers show any barking around 10:50 on any of the dates, correct?
Yes.
And your officers, well, from what we've seen, the memos are all about barking around the 7:30 to 8 a.m. time period, correct?
It appears that way, yeah.
Okay. Let's let's move on. Joint Exhibit 24, another email from Mr. Garrett. Exhibit 27, or sorry, 25, another email from Mr. Garrett. Can you read to us, is Mr. Garrett CCing his email, other email address in all of these emails?
Again, I don't know what Mr. Garrett is doing.
Okay, can you read the CC line?
ggarrett@tehachapicityhall.com.
Okay, are you aware that Mr. Garrett is the city manager for Tehachapi?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move through quickly. Joint Exhibit 26 is another email from Mr. Garrett. 27 is another email from Mr. Garrett. 28, 29, the commissioners will all have these, so I'm not going to go through the contents. They're basically the same. Complaints about parking, different times of the day. Presumably, Mr. Garrett believes that these are coming from the Pet Lodge, correct?
I can't tell you what. Okay. Great, thanks. I can only tell you when we corroborate a complaint, that's when we have physically responded to the call and corroborate the complaint. I can't tell you what Greg was thinking though.
Okay. Is there a reason? So these complaints kind of span the day. Some are around 7:30, 7, 8 o'clock time frame. Others are for plenty at 2:35 p.m., 10 a.m. Is there a reason your officers did not go investigate around those times? Or did they? I don't want to make that assumption.
I can't say which calls were responded to, which ones weren't, but the times of the complaints are kind of immaterial. We're trying to determine whether a nuisance existed or not. It doesn't matter to us what time of the day it was.
Okay, so in your interpretation of the ordinance, if the pet lodge were silent most of the day, but there was a period from 7:30 to 8 o'clock when they take the dogs out, that there are dogs barking, that is sufficient to show a violation of the ordinance?
Correct. If a nuisance existed, it does not matter whether it was at 7:30 a.m. or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The ordinance does not delineate. The ordinance is pretty clear that it either existed or didn't.
Okay. Are you familiar with noise ordinances from other jurisdictions, other counties or cities?
I am not.
Okay, so you wouldn't know what the decibel readings would be or decibel levels would be in nearby cities, nearby, you know, other California counties for the public nuisance level?
No, I would not know what the decibel levels are in other cities. We get thousands of complaints every year. I don't think any of those complainants have a decibel meter in their home either. Yet it still affects their ability to enjoy their home.
Understood. So we've talked a lot about your discretion as the director, your discretion in deciding whether there's a violation and discretion in interpreting the ordinance. And let's move a little bit to the discretion of your deputies, of the officer subs, Officer Hackett. You mentioned that they have broad discretion. Do you review their conclusions, their discretionary calls often? So if they come to you and say, I believe this was a nuisance, how often do you do your independent investigation to see, I think they're right, I don't think they're right?
Not often.
So you generally defer completely to their determination?
Yeah, they're running 19,000 calls a year. There's 12 officers. I do not have the time to comb over all of their discretionary calls.
And so in this instance, though, you thought it was serious enough that you wanted video evidence of what they were seeing and hearing?
Correct.
Okay. Do you recall when you gave that instruction?
I don't remember specifically when. Okay. It was probably in December of 2025, though.
You think it was December 2025? Let's go back a little bit in time. Let's go back to 2024, because I do want to address kind of the mitigation measures that were put in place in mid-2024. So we'll go back to Exhibit 5. So this was an email from Mr. Sherlock, who is representing the Pet Lodge. And it's not to you, it's to a Jennifer Filey. Are you familiar with her?
Yes.
Did you see this letter even though it wasn't addressed to you?
I believe I did.
Okay. And at the end, there's a mitigation plan, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And your testimony earlier was that you thought the plan was a good one, and putting aside whether it's approved or not, did you agree with the plan? Do you think it would sufficiently address the noise complaints?
I was optimistic that we would gain compliance, yes.
Okay. And so that's reflected in the next exhibit, right? Exhibit 6 is a letter from you.
Okay, Ms. Hu, can we kind of expedite this a little
bit?
Yeah. I don't want to cover the same ground multiple times.
I
do want to cover everything, but I don't want to do it, multiple times.
The short version is, did you believe the mitigation measures would work? And the answer was yes. And did you send out the letter from the exhibit 7? And the commissioners can read that at
their leisure.
Is that the May 30th letter?
Yes.
Yes, I sent that out.
Okay. And you said there was a period of time where there were no noise complaints, everything was working well, nothing. Do you know when the noise complaints started again?
It was around September of 2025. I'm not 100% sure, but it was around late 2025, for sure.
Because there are, let's go for a second to join Exhibit 7, base label 20. It's, I'll read for Ms. Rivera, it's A24-104-972-2, and these are activity cards from late 2024.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar? Was there an investigation in late 2024?
We had complaints in 2024, yes.
Okay, so even though you just told me it wasn't until late 2025, it looks like there was something happening in late 2024.
Well, I think we've established that 2023 to 2025, we were getting complaints pretty consistently. But just to be sure that the action that we're here talking about today is not based on anything that happened in 2024 or 2023.
Just to put everyone in line on the chronology, in May 2024, the mitigation measures were put into place. May 2024, not 2025, May 2024. Correct?
Yes.
And so, a few months later, now, your recollection is refreshed, there were some noise issues, notwithstanding the mitigation measures.
Correct.
Did you ever inform anyone at the Pet Lodge that there were noise complaints and check in with mitigation measures to see if they were doing their job?
I don't believe I did.
Okay. And that takes us to 2025. There are more complaints. It looks like there were some, actually at the beginning of 2025 too, if you go to Joint Exhibit 7, page 10, there are some cards from February 2025. So again, a few months later.
Which one is this?
Page 10 of Exhibit 7.
From 2024?
2025.
Page 10?
Page 10. Join Exhibit 7, page 10.
Page 10 for me is 2024. Oh no, so February 2025.
Yeah,
okay.
February 2025.
Yep.
So it looks like you sent someone out. Someone went out to listen for more dog barking.
Yeah, I can't say for sure if I sent this this person out.
Because it says failed inspection. Do you recall ever telling anyone at the Pet Lodge that there were noise issues again?
I don't recall.
Okay. And then that takes us to, I believe it's September 2025. We can go to Joint Exhibit 7005. This
what
is the call.
What tab would that be?
They're all under page, sorry. They're all under tab 7.
Okay.
All of these activities.
Okay, good.
So page 5. And this is dated September 2023, 2025. Correct?
Yes.
And this is no violations observed?
Yes.
And so it looks like she was out there for a full day. Is that right?
She was out there for a full day?
Yeah, if you look at the dispatch time, it says 6:57 a.m. to 4:18 p.m.
No, there are times.
So there's a glitch there.
Can you give a page number that you're talking about?
There are times when an officer, especially an outlying officer, does not have service on their on their PC, and so they might not clear that call until they come into the office later in the day. So that, no, she certainly was not investigating. She better not have been investigating a nuisance noise disturbance for 8 hours.
Okay, we'll ignore that one then. Mm-hmm. There are three...
Well, I will 100% concur that there were many times when we responded to the Tehachapi Pet Lodge and observed no violations. Absolutely.
Okay. But in the times that you did observe violations in late 2024, according to your records, early 2025, and then late 2025, did you at any time inform the Pet Lodge there were noise issues so that they could try to resolve those? Or was it not until your January 7th letter that they first became aware that there was an issue after meeting?
Honestly, I don't recall all the communications I had with...
Okay. But at least there's no record of any communications with the Pet Lodge until January 7th, 2020.
It could very well be, yeah.
Okay. And so you mentioned before that you like to follow progression, a full progression, right, especially when this is very serious and might result in the suspension of a permit?
Correct.
Okay. But for a year and a half, there were investigations behind the scenes and you never let the Pet Lodge know so they can make any adjustments, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm going to end there. Robert, things I can touch on, but I thank you.
Okay. No, it's up to you. I'm not trying to abbreviate what you want to talk. I still want to duplicate it. So, okay. So if you're finished, right. So, Mr. Rivera, you get the chance to redirect the party.
I have no further questions.
Okay. May the witness be excused.
No.
Oh, sorry.
I have questions.
Okay.
You're from what I understand, you said it many times, but I just got to hear it again. There's no difference when you're looking at a facility, like a commercial use permit, than a house when a dog's barking. There's no difference on the noise. Like, you don't give a little more credit to a boarding facility. Like, if somebody came in your shelter at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be pretty loud when you get there, right? Do you think of that when permits are getting set, that there's a potential that there is a facility there and there's going to be more barking?
So it's not the same, because there are different laws that apply to the commercial animal facility permit process than there are to John Q. Pet Owner. So I wouldn't say they're the same, but we investigate the complaints similarly, especially in the way that we will progress in enforcement. But we absolutely, you know, if we have an individual who owns a dog and just lives in a home and he's got neighbors, we will not go to the lengths that we did with the Tehachapi Pet Lodge to achieve compliance or abatement. That's extraordinary. We don't go to those measures. We'll issue a criminal citation a lot sooner. I mean, this is extraordinary lengths to gain compliance and to make everybody happy.
So, one other time, what time does your officers usually start work? Is it normal, like at 8 o'clock, were they going there special tasks for this task?
So, our officers work 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and they're mostly Monday through Friday. Saturdays, we have one officer on duty, but this was the calls in December. That was a special assignment. Yes, I had to ask an officer to come in early and to get out to that facility to either unsubstantiate or substantiate the complaint. There was no other way to do it.
And I'm just really hung up on that they didn't, like, for the year and a half, they didn't get a chance to, you know, improve or find out that the investigation was still going on. Is that normal protocol that when an investigation with the permit holder, that they don't get to know that there's still complaints going on?
Can you say a year and a half?
Between 24 and 25.
I think with this particular case, you know, in late 2024, the Pet Lodge made some changes, you know, I think we were hopeful, and when the complaints continued to come back in, you know, there are times when we you know, we'll respond to a call, we will see a violation, and we will not take an enforcement action. That's just, that's our discretion to do that. You know, it's, especially if we're, we know that a facility, or even an individual for that matter, we know that they just recently made efforts to make corrections, you know, we'll afford as much latitude as we possibly can, in the hopes that, you know, the situation will be abated and be resolved.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Director.
I have a question. I have a few, just to get clarity. It kind of goes off of what Robbie said when the commercial animal facility permit versus Joe pet owner when it comes to a nuisance. I'm verifying that a nuisance is a nuisance only because someone is nuisanced. Like, if someone's not complaining, animal control isn't going to go find sound.
Okay.
This is just strictly because a resident or whoever is filing a complaint against the noise.
Yeah, so nuisance is passively enforced. It's enforced only when a complaint is lodged. But that's the, with animal control, 99% of the calls we respond to are complaint-based.
And
certainly with nuisance calls.
And so this, and this could be for this commercial animals facility permit. I don't know if this is a, someone can stop me if this is a not appropriate question for this. I'm just trying to make a connection.
Mm-mm.
Animal facility permit could end, this hearing could end in a suspension, which could then in turn end in a revocation. I'm correct in the pattern of where this is, how this is moving, correct? Ish. Not that it's going to go that way. I'm just saying, is that, are those the steps? Because you said earlier, this is not revoking the permit. This is a possible suspension of a permit, right?
This hearing is for intent to suspend.
Intent to suspend the permit.
Yes.
When it comes to, like, a person, a resident, not a business that has a facilities permit, a person, you said earlier that you guys worked really hard to not, like, you worked, you did extra to see how long you could get, I want to use the
compliance.
Word, compliance, thank you. And you said for a regular citizen, it would go to a criminal citation much sooner. So when it goes to a criminal citation, because in the commercial animal facility for a situation that maybe dogs don't exist in that land anymore at some point, maybe that's how it turns out. What happens if it's a regular person? Do you guys, would you seize dogs if it went, like, I'm trying to run the parallel of what that looks like and the difference between the CAF permit versus a regular person.
So there are very few occasions when animal control or any law enforcement agency has the right to take your property from you. A nuisance noise disturbance is certainly not one of them. It's usually just going to be punitive. It's going to be citations, fines. You can cite somebody for an infraction, and then on a second or third occurrence, it's a misdemeanor, and then on a third or fourth occurrence, it's a felony. So you could progress in the judicial system in the severity of the crime. I don't know of any nuisance noise that's ever been a felony, but I suppose that theoretically it could progress that far.
She cannot sit in the audience.
There was at one point an activity card, and I did not write down which one, but the address listed is 20532 Tiffany Circle, where an officer was sent to listen from that location. Does anyone know, is there video from that location? Because all the video I saw, and I could be mistaken, looked like on a back road. And I was associating that with the map that was here. Is there any video from the actual Tiffany Circle homes? Did we see it?
So the video that you saw today is the video that exists. And I never instructed, first of all, it never has been a requirement.
Right.
Either in a court of law for an infraction like this, or in an administrative hearing, to have video evidence. That was a specific request from me on those calls, but the Tiffany Circle call, or where I asked the officer to observe from, there was not a concurrent instruction to take video.
I was just making sure that I correlate that I was only seeing a video, and I'm assuming it's not in the residential area because of what the video looked like. So if, I was just curious, that's all. And I think, hold on, I think that might be it.
Yeah, it's like I said earlier, it's very extraordinary for us to be taking video of a nuisance noise complaint. This doesn't happen.
Okay, hold
on. Unless I ask for it.
All right, I think that's all the questions I have.
And so you got, Rob, you got another one?
So is it normal when somebody starts a complaint that they start emailing you directly once it gets to that stage?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right.
Okay, I've got a few.
But it's important that a complaint is a complaint.
Right. I'm not going there.
And, and we'll corroborate it or not, regardless of how what form it takes, the complaint comes to us.
All right. Okay. In view of the time, I'm going to go through this pretty quickly because we have another meeting at 6. So anyway, my first question is, what's the criteria on passing or failing an inspection? What's the criteria that they
use? Let me clarify, an inspection that you keep seeing, that's just whether or not barking was occurring. So we call it an inspection.
Any kind of barking, okay.
It's an investigation to determine if there is a nuisance level of noise disturbance occurring. And like I said earlier, it's an infraction. It's a very low level offense. The evidentiary requirement, the threshold, is very low. And so we leave it up to, and there are a lot of different areas that officers flex their discretion.
Right.
And we'll certainly allow them that on very low level offenses like barking complaints. And so when we talk about an investigation for barking, it is entirely based off of what they heard, saw, and experienced.
Okay.
And if they determine that it failed, all that means is that the barking was consistent enough and not prompted by any stimuli, like a child walking by or something like that, that they have determined that it was a nuisance. And so when we see failed inspection or failed investigation, that's what it means, is that they sat there and in their determination, using their discretion, they determined that a nuisance existed.
Okay, that's a good answer. What percent of the inspections that were done passed, let's say failed, what percent of the inspections failed? On all the inspections that were done, what percent failed?
That's really hard for me to say. I can't put a number on it.
You said half? More than half?
So I can't put a number on it. I can tell you for sure that there were more investigations that resulted in no violations than there were in violations. But
say that again.
I can tell you for sure that there were more no violations than there were violations.
That's kind of what I thought.
However.
Yeah.
A single nuisance existing gives us the statutory authority to suspend a permit. So I didn't base this action on the totality of those occurrences. So I can tell you that the majority of, I can't put a number on it, but okay, the majority of these complaints were unfounded.
I think somebody should have added them up, to be honest with you, but okay, because I'm an analytical kind of person. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the issue is, in the record, we only ask for documentation of violations, so yeah, not all of the activity cards showing no violations will be
okay
there.
I'm just kind of curious, you know, like, how bad really is it?
And you really just have to note that a lot of it was happening during the weekend when I was going through the reports.
Is that what you know? Okay.
And I'll say that, to your point, the majority of nuisance noise disturbance investigations that we do beyond the pet lodge are overwhelmingly no violations.
They're overwhelming.
Because we typically can't determine where the barking is coming from.
It's hard.
Or we've determined that
okay,
it's not a nuisance in our estimation. So the majority of them are no violations, which is consistent with this call.
Okay. And I'll repeat what I said earlier. I kind of want to do a look-see of the facility and see how close it was to residences. I was told no. Okay. I still think it's a good exercise because, I mean, are we talking, is it a quarter mile away to homes or are they really close? And, you know, I asked the question also, who's there first? I'm pretty sure the facility was there first. It's just like Mesa Marin Racetrack, for those of you that have been around a while. They were out there in the middle of nowhere, and they built this racetrack. It was a quarter-mile racetrack. And I might have been on a half-mile racetrack, and it was great, and they were well-known. But what did people start doing? They started building houses around there. And then what happened? Then they started complaining about the noise. Well, you shouldn't have built your dumb house there. It's like, and that's really what happened. So it's the same kind of parallel that I'm seeing. But, okay, so to move things along, those are my questions.
I have a question.
Oh, you have another question.
And I'm only bringing this up because I don't know if council brought it up, but there was the talk of another pet boarding facility. I didn't see it on the map. We were trying to look, but it was mentioned, so I feel like I can ask a question about
it. Go for it.
Do you have any knowledge of getting calls for nuisances from whatever boarding facility that is, that's apparently nearby this same housing track?
I wouldn't feel comfortable saying.
Same, so, okay.
Do we get a hear from the public then?
Well, I'm not done yet. I have one more question because she's... we're going to wrap this up quick, but I mean, I'm looking at Google here, and Tehachapi Pet Lodge and Outfitters is a 5,000 square foot traditional pet boarding and lodging facility located on the grounds behind the Tehachapi Veterinary Hospital. Well, we all know there's a shortage of vets in this country. We all know there's a shortage of probably vet techs. There's probably a shortage.
This is discussion we need to move on with veterans.
What?
It's discussion we need to move on with veterans.
Yeah,
okay.
So
what I'm wondering is, I'll sidestep this one. So,
because they haven't presented the case.
Say it again.
They haven't presented the case.
As far as evidence goes, can we excuse this witness?
Yes.
Okay, you're off the hot seat. All right. So you're saying... Yes, do you have any additional witnesses?
I do not.
Okay, I didn't think you did, but I'm glad. Yeah, thank you for... I have to ask that question. We'll have all this. What's it?
Ask her if she rests.
Do you rest?
I do. Thank you.
Do you rest?
I don't. No, I have two additional witnesses, and I think if we took a 2-minute break, I might be able to work out some a stimulation with Ms. Riviera to short circuit some of it.
Okay.
Does that help?
Okay.
We only have 40 minutes, and I don't think I can do a full direct.
So, what did you say?
Break for 2 minutes.
You want a break? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
5-minute break. Okay, that's cool.
Andrew, did you want to run through it? Do you want me to run through it?
Why don't you go ahead and run through it?
So over the break, Ms. Riviera and I spoke and we discussed a stipulated fact that's going to cut the need for any of my witnesses to testify.
Okay.
And it's going to cover the topics of the fact that the pet lodge is very well run.
Yes.
That there are no other issues other than certain noise complaints I'll get to in a second. So. No other issues. The only basis for complaint that we're stipulated on are the violations noted on the activities cards from December 2025. So that would be December 18th, 2025, December 22nd, December 23rd. Was there a fourth date?
December 18th. 18th, 19th, 22nd,
okay.
23rd.
So I missed the 19th. Those are the only basis for the violations, so the violations are all cabined between 7:30 to 8 o'clock.
So there's no other issues of noise?
I noticed that, yeah.
Okay.
So. What other stipulations are we agreeing on? Is that it, or is there more?
Oh, and that the pet hospital slash and the adjoining pet lodge provide a unique function and
well,
service.
That was where I was headed on my little spiel before I was yanked off the stage. So.
Yeah.
If I can just interject, we are not talking about Tehachapi Pet Hospital.
Yes.
I know we're not.
That has nothing to do with this.
I was just talking about the value to the community.
Right. So we're going to stipulate to the value to the community of a pet lodge that's attached to a vet hospital.
Indeed.
Is that fair? Okay.
So we got all the stipulations done. I agree with that?
Yes, we agree.
I agree, you agree? Okay, we're good on that.
Yes.
Next step, Andrew.
All right. So ask her if she rests.
Okay. Mr. Verde, do you come? Ms. Cho, do you rest?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Rivera, do you rest?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, they've suggested doing instead of closing arguments, submitting briefs.
Okay, instead of closing arguments, you want to submit briefs?
We suggest a 10-page limit, keep them short.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Is that okay?
Yes.
So, the closing arguments on your side, no rebuttal by the department.
That'll be part of the closing.
Okay. So at this point, it's public comment time. So any public comments will need to be done at that center chair. Anybody from, we'll call that row one where you are in the white shirt, you're row one. Did anybody from that row that wants to make a public comment? Okay. Row two, please come on up individually. State your name and zip code. You don't need to swear right now.
Christy Kerr, 93561.
What is your last name?
Kerr, K-E-R-R.
Kerr, okay.
Yes. Just a little bit of background before I get into this.
You get 2 minutes, by the way.
Oh, 2 minutes. Okay, real quick. No, real fast. I was born and raised in Tehachapi, left after high school. My husband and I both were graduates in 97. After college and graduate school, we chose to move back. We raised our 2 boys who are both graduates of Tehachapi High School. They're 21 and 18 now.
Yeah.
We know the importance it is of a well-run small town business. Shop local, we love it. Apollo, who's our 80-pound German Shepherd, is the COVID dog. We have plenty of time to puppy train. Boys always wanted a dog. They were gigantic athletes. We were always here and there. So what they were talking about with the pet lodge, the unique thing, just like daycare with your child, you want to find a place that is safe for your pet, especially dogs, as you all know who have dogs. It's not just something like cats are kind of kind of independent, they're all food, water here and there. Dogs are like little humans and their personalities are great. However, when we first needed to go on vacation as a family, and we wanted a place that was super safe, and of course, you know, the vet had been our vet all growing up, and the pet lodge provides this unique service that when you take your dog there, whether it's two days or a week because you're on a cruise, if they break a leg or something happens, the vet will provide immediate service. It could be night or day. Something happens to your pet, it's there. They're so caring. I can call the book Apollo, which actually it's my son's birthday this weekend, and we are going out of town as a family, and Apollo will be there tomorrow. I call, and we book him maybe 5 to 7 times a year. Yes.
1 minute.
Oh, I remember. And so they're so caring. They play with Apollo. They'll say, oh, Christy, we haven't seen you in a while. How's Apollo? They remember, and it's that small town community aspect of boarding your dog here. This isn't something that just came about, but it's a place where, they not only have survived all these years, 23 years, but through economic ups and downs, through COVID, they thrive. I mean, they can have upwards of 17 dogs. So when they hear noise complaints in the morning, well, these poor animals have been inside for hours during the night because the workers have to go home. Of course, they're all going to be barking outside, and they have taken measures, I know, to let the dogs out slightly later in the morning, you know, to appease the neighbors. And I think it's a good idea if you go see Tiffany Circle. This isn't a neighborhood with sidewalks and, you know, gates that, you know, fences and these little lots.
Right.
So it is a rural area. It's outside the city limits. It is zoned for horses. It's a place where there's wide open spaces. So the pet lodge was there from 2003. So it is kind of like people who live by the high school, there's bands practicing, there's sports teams. There's a huge, beautiful development that's half mile up from the train tracks. 2 a.m., freight trains go through. They're not going to move the freight train schedule. Houses under the airplane, you know, the airplanes that take off and land at the airport. The same community is under the flight path. Fire helicopters, fire planes. This is just what you entail when you live in a small town.
But this is outside the city limits.
This is outside the city limits.
I think that was brought out before. So.
This is outside the city limits. And so this is where it is zoned for horses. I grew up in West Gold Hills, not the same exact area, but it's a very similar developed area.
We need to wrap that up.
Okay.
So my last question is, whenever you bring your dog there, are they stuck in a cubicle the whole time you're gone? Or
no, I have an indoor outdoor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's the noise complaints. They let the dogs out.
There are places to do that.
Oh, and this is not one of them. Yes, at night, yes. But no, that's why they let them out. They play.
We're done.
Love these dogs.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Sorry.
We can talk a long time, I'm sure. Anybody else from table two? That was it? Okay. Andrew, what's next?
Okay, so I think what we can do, since we're not doing a closing argument, is probably take the matter under submission, and then we'll reconvene at a later date and time to be agreed upon.
So we're going to have another open session? Mm-hmm. She's saying no, and you're saying yes.
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 But not like this.
Not what?
Not what? In
yeah.
A month, and then
that's
going
to be. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
You just said. All right, so. We'll be receiving briefs from the parties. The parties will submit briefs as agreed. Then the briefs will be distributed to the commission members to be considered individually at the next. A scheduled meeting, we'll have discussion in order.
Okay. So we're going to have the conclusions and everything submitted to the commissioners. We're going to come back at the next meeting, most likely, which is the third Wednesday of each month at 6 o'clock. And then we will consider that on new business, and we'll probably finish it up then. But we've got 30 days. To deliberate and to think about it.
So September 16th is the next commission date.
Sorry?
September 16th is the next commission date.
September 16th, is that the date? Okay. And I think, is that it, Andrew?
Ask the parties if they have anything. Any questions about that?
Ask the party. Ask who?
The parties.
I've already asked the question, but I'll ask again. Do you have anything else?
A deadline for the briefing? Maybe 2 weeks? Maybe
okay, give me a deadline. Andrew, that's your department.
What's 2 weeks?
Two weeks?
To the parties, 2 weeks?
I think that's
fine.
All right, 2 weeks.
Give me a date.
September 2nd.
I can't go say 2 weeks.
September 2nd. I just want to make sure the commission has
September 2nd? Okay. September 2nd, we'll need the briefs, right? Okay, so that's what we need.
But just like counsel said, that only leaves the commission 2 weeks to make a decision, just so you know.
Do you need more time? We can...
So if you're going to give them 2 weeks, I shouldn't even be talking. If you're going to give them 2 weeks, then you're going to get your materials about 2 weeks before you need to make a decision.
Okay.
So just so you're all.
Oh, does that give us enough time? Is what you're saying?
Right. Correct.
So more time would then mean not the September meeting.
Well, maybe
the October meeting.
It might go into October, right? Is that what you're saying?
No. She's asking if we need the materials sooner.
Right.
What do you guys think?
How long do you need to consider a 10-page brief?
I
need like a week at the most.
Okay, so the 2nd. Yeah.
Let's go with September 2nd. Then we'll finish this up at the September, is it 16th?
Correct.
September 16th meeting.
At 6
o'clock. At a normal meeting under new business. It'll be on a Wednesday. Okay, are we at this point?
Yes.
Okay. I do want to thank everybody. This has been a long meeting. This has been almost 4 hours. I mean, I've never had a 4-hour meeting probably my entire life. I don't think I have. This is really, really important. I mean, for a lot of reasons, it is. So thank you. Having heard the evidence and arguments by the parties, this matter is now under submission for discussion and order by the commission. So at this time, I'm going to declare this meeting closed.